Hey, what's poppin'? It's the Thursday show with Crew and Mike and Trudy.
Hey.
And Mark and Brandon in the DealsNadie.com studios. And my, oh my, what a busy day, what a sad day. As the first thing that entered my consciousness today was that Gail Sayers died, which of course brings back all those Brian Song memories.
Were you insulted by Brandon's text?
Oh, what did he text? I don't know if I want to know.
I think he said, I thought he died in 1970.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got him mixed up with Piccolo for a minute.
Mike!
That was Piccolo was the point of the movie.
So
the fact that he died was the whole thing.
Hey, you got to understand, Gail Sayers, I don't remember him playing. I remember, you know, Animal from Legion of Doom died today. He's kind of the bigger death in my life.
You mean Jim Laurinaitis' father?
Correct.
Oh, boy, that's hard to take.
You're racked about it.
What a bullshit response that was.
Quite disingenuous.
Oh,
wait, now, who played him in Brian Piccolo? It was
Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
Right?
You know,
yeah.
I gotta say,
Landau Clarissian? Clarissian.
That was actually a pretty good movie. The original, I can't believe they remade it.
Yeah.
Because James Caan, mm-hmm. He was at his zenith at that time. Played Pick, Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee as Gail Sayers, Shelley Fabares.
Yeah,
who was went on to coach, right?
Wasn't yeah,
coach?
Yeah, she yeah. Was, yeah. She was his tail.
Well, she was young and she was really cute in that movie. She was Joy Piccolo, of course.
And I love Brian Piccolo.
Who was Old Man Hallis?
Jack Warden.
That's right.
Yeah. Brian Piccolo.
I love that scene where he told me he was deaf in one ear.
Yeah, and Gail kept running around to the other side. Hallis didn't know what was going on. It's crazy. I know, it was really a hokey movie, but.
Oh, I know. I think a lot of people like it.
It was made for TV, right?
Yes. And they used the Chicago Bears players of that time. I think Butkus was in the movie and Buffon and.
The Bears!
I don't think Ditka was in the movie, but it could have been because Ditka was part of the Bears till 69, I believe. But they had a lot of the Bear players in that movie who were not, of course, in the remake. So I don't know how they ever thought the remake would be as good. And they used the real Bear highlights of Sayers.
Yeah, that's just cool, though.
It was.
You never see that now.
No, and his highlights were... I swear, I watch highlight reels of all the great players, and I find it hard to top Gail Sayers for elusiveness and speed. That guy was...
Oh, that highlight doll. That fucking highlight doll.
And they gave him a girly name to toughen him up.
To toughen him up.
But he had the best nickname, the Kansas Comet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a good name.
You know, it's I thought it was Magic. What Piccolo called him.
I guess Pick called him.
Racist.
It was their special name. Yeah. And you know what's funny, though, is that that movie at the time was like, oh, my God, a black guy roomed with a white guy. Oh. That's incredible.
Yeah.
As was Bill Cosby and Robert Culp, I Spy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't that one of the first?
Uh-huh.
Well, and Nichelle Nichols, didn't she have the first interracial kiss on Star Trek?
With Spock.
Yeah, that's right.
They made out.
But they, you know... they made it seem in the movie. I don't remember this. I was just a kid when Sayers was playing, although he was my first real hero. I mean, he was the guy. And let's not forget that draft of 1965, the Bears had the third pick. They took Gail Sayers. And the fourth pick, Dick Butkus.
Whoa.
Wow.
Right, bloop away. But that was an amazing. That was who has ever gotten two guys in the first round
not
that were that
Bob
good?
Bob Quinn, I can tell you that much.
Yep. I gotta go with you on that.
Do you want to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score on the original made-for-TV movie, or do you already
yes.
know?
Yes. No, I have not checked. I'm gonna say the audience will give it a 98.
Oh, I thought I predicted you would say 98.
A little disappointed in the audience. 82.
Oh, no. Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hope that the critics bumped it up to 86.
85. There you go. You're getting your groove back. Mike on Facebook Live says, imagine thinking that Brian's song is so much better than The Sandlot or Angels in the Outfield. Okay, Boomer.
Oh,
Brian's song is way better than both of those movies.
I don't think you have to be a boomer to like Brian's song.
I'm not a boomer. I love that movie.
Trudy, did you see it?
Yeah, of course I did. I love football movies.
Did you have a favorite
I never
part?
Saw it because it came out in, what, 1963?
71. 71.
Like when,
71, okay. So when I was negative 13 years old, yeah, I caught that sucker right on prime time.
I was negative 5. I've seen it.
Trudy?
I like when Sayers went out there and, like, you know, ran the plays for him. And
he was great, man.
You know, saved the game for him. Well, I also love the valiant effort of the friend for the dying, you know.
I always
thought we were going to talk about the Road Warriors here, you know, with Animal dying.
Should we just give him the egg timer and let him talk about the Road Warriors?
Talk about when he went to Jim Crockett Promotions and, you know, 86 to 90.
Huh?
WWF.
Is the Road Warrior, I mean, is there a chunk of the audience that's going, oh my God, I'm so glad they're talking about the Road Warriors?
Small chunk, yeah. That's why you're getting your time. Mm. That's all you want to say about him?
Anybody on Facebook?
Well,
see that?
Rest in peace to Hawk, who passed away, I believe, in 2003. So...
Wait, Hawk? Is in Hawking?
Yeah. Not the Hawk.
Well, Gail Sayers, okay, the movie, one of the funny parts of the movie is that Gail, of course, that horrible, scary music comes up as Gail sweeping
yes.
the left end against San Francisco, and Kermit Washington hits him in the knee, and it's like, dun-dun-dun!
Son of a bitch. Good job,
and
Kermit.
Destroys his knee, and Pick, Gail's backup, then plays for Gail. He's the starter. And he actually has a 100-yard rushing game. He scores a couple touchdowns. And, of course, he teases Gail in the hospital. And then, remember, Gail was so bummed out, and he was getting ready
no
to work out.
No one cares about the whites.
And Brian Piccolo shows up with that like, 1920s leg-lifting machine. Remember that? It's, like, the most archaic piece of weightlifting equipment I've ever seen. Like, we're going to really get you in shape.
Or whatever it was that you were?
No, they did not have the Exergeni yet. But that's a great point. Magic would have used it. And then remember they're running, and Gail fakes the knee injury mm-hmm. and gets up and beats Pick.
That was a good deke.
But then Pick, of course, they decide to use them both in the backfield until Pick starts losing weight.
Yeah.
And I remember Abe Gibron, the big fat guy, is like, Piccolo, you're down to 206. What the fuck's going on? Piccolo, you're down to 142. What the hell's wrong with you? Get something to eat, Piccolo. Jesus.
Isn't James Caan all a 5'5"?
He's got AIDS.
Khan, you know, he probably is really short, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm just thinking of him at 206, but...
Should we play the trailer for it, or the final scene? Or, I mean, it seems like we should play something.
Oh, yeah.
In memory?
Yeah.
Do you also want to play SummerSlam of 1992 when the Legion of Doom defeated Money, Inc., Ted DiBiase, and IRS? Just... curious.
If sure. you think it's something our audience would enjoy, I mean,
probably not. I guess we'll just go with the 1970 movie trailer for Brian's song.
But he lived how he lived. Jack Warden, great narration.
This is a story about two men.
Oh, yeah.
They competed for the same job. One was white, the other black.
Black.
One liked to talk a lot.
You said, uh-huh.
The other was shy as a 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Hey, rookies got to stick together.
Our story is about how they came to know each other, fight each other.
I'm going to whip you, Sayers, but you got to be at your best.
And help each other.
Because that's what best friends do.
How are you there? How are you? A lot more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Happy Brian song music. Picks Alive.
That's cute how they were wrestling in the room together.
JC had a notion here, and Ed seems to think it's a good idea.
We'd like you and Brian Piccolo to room together.
You had me worried. I thought it was...
What? That's insane!
Man, you're talking about a white man and a black man rooming together on a team that's never been done before.
What JC is saying is that there may be some pressures. Severe ones.
I don't remember that. I really don't.
want you two to kiss each other.
You have never seen anyone so black and blue in your life.
That's racist.
It's like a rooming with a colored play again.
Gail told the joke.
Gail, I'm sending Brian Piccolo back to Chicago. He's always been in shape, willing to give 100%. But he's not doing that anymore.
What's wrong with you? Yeah, he sucks. He's lazy now.
I don't know what it is.
Weighs 90 pounds. Jesus. What's wrong with him?
Might be an emotional disturbance.
He's got AIDS.
I mean, I know perfectly well what's wrong with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm pregnant.
What a jokester.
Don't make fun of me, Brian.
No, his sense of humor is terrible.
I'm scared.
I'm no idiot. This thing I got's bad, I know that. But, well, it's just a detour, Joy.
I don't want no attention.
I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm just not. There's no way.
The tough, tender, and true story of Gail Sayers and Brian Piccolo.
Man up. Stop crying.
God, that music was a little heavy.
Yes.
I honestly don't know the answer to this song. Is it called Brian's Song because of that piano? Why is there a song?
Because it's the theme of the movie. That's the music that makes people cry when they hear it.
They don't
it.
Call the Titanic movie My Heart Will Go On. Why are they calling this movie Brian's Song? Like, shouldn't it be called like Piccolo?
Songs tell a story, Brandon.
Piccolo.
Pick.
I just don't understand Brian's Song. Did they write the song to honor, I don't know.
It's just the theme music for the movie.
They pulled Bill Conti in, and he put together a few notes.
I don't know who. Did, right. I don't really know who did Brian's Song. Seems like it should have been a hit record at that time.
I'm thinking
just like what was the Exorcist theme?
Oh, Tubular Bells.
That was great.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Maybe song is synonymous for story in the title, Brandon.
Yes.
Well, if we're gonna watch the trailer, you might as well watch the best part of the show, which is the beautiful thing.
He also left a great many loving friends who miss him and think of him often. But when they think of him, it's not how he died that they remember.
It's how he lived.
But rather how he lived.
Oh.
How he did live.
Yes.
And
there's the melancholy but happy Brian Song theme.
Oof.
Listen to that string section. Get off!
Yeah.
Who's got AIDS?
Do you remember when Billy Dee Williams was in the building?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was at...
Oh, that was weird.
Was he on the Harper show?
Yes, he was.
And that he was promoting something.
He's in the building! It's an art show.
It was his art show. Well, Billy Dee Williams, who, by the way, is sexually fluid.
Oh, that's right. Now. I mean, we didn't know that then.
No. We somehow found out that he was in the building, and one of you guys grabbed him and just dragged him down our studio, and we pummeled him with Brian's Song, and he was like, he had no idea what was coming. I think he was a little bummed, to be honest.
Really? I think he was probably relieved. He probably gets bombarded about Star Wars.
Sure.
True. I just don't think, yeah. I think he was surprised, like, what the fuck, Brian's Song? These guys all into Brian's Song.
Can we talk about Colt 45? Does it every time.
Yeah, that's a very memorable commercial. Oh, I like that.
This is a really good version, too.
I guess I should briefly talk about some of Gail Sayers' career highlights.
Yeah, please do.
His rookie year, in a 14-game season, he had 22 touchdowns, 14 rushing, 6 receiving, 1 in a kick return, and 1 on a punt return as a rookie. 2,442 yards on 240 touches. Now that's got to be, is that a record? It's got to be.
I don't know. You didn't look that up? I would have thought you would have looked it up.
I didn't, but there were tons of records he held when he retired. I just don't know if they're still, because he had such a short career. He was almost like the Bird times 3.
Yeah, and Barry Sanders was trending today on Twitter.
Yeah,
you know, a lot because of, you know, hey, the top 5 running backs of all time, because Gail Sayers died. And so there were a lot of comparisons between Gail and Barry.
No, they're nothing alike.
It's amazing, though, how similar Gail's stats are to Billy Sims. Because Billy Sims had a great rookie year, Then he got injured. Then he had two more good years. And then he got injured and injured again and never really played. And we were stuck with James Jones for the 80s.
Well, Sayers had that rookie year. He only carried the ball like 150 times. He had like 900 yards. He had a 17.5 receiving average on, I think, 29 catches. Led the league in kickoff returns. Had one for the touchdown. He had six touchdowns against the 49ers. One on a punt return. One on us, I think, a 55-yard run. He had one catching a pass. He had a couple more running. Anyway, on a very muddy field, too. Those are great highlights from that day. Then his next year, I don't know why they didn't give him the ball much more, but they didn't. He had the same sort of year, not quite as great. But in 67, he had three kickoff returns for touchdowns. I believe he averaged 37.7 on kickoff returns. He's the career... He's the career kick return average record holder. His punt return average is 14.5. He had two returns for touchdowns.
Too bad his knees were made of glass.
Then in 68, he was off to his best season ever. He had almost 900 yards through nine games, which was an amazing pace at that point when Kermit Washington hit him. And then Pick, of course, got him in fabulous shape with that really old leg lift machine somehow and those little races that they had. And Gale came back while Pick was dying and rushed for 1,032 yards, which led the league in 1969, but he was not the same Gale Sayers.
Saved the day.
He had a 4.4 average, and the year before that, I think he was 6.2. So,
I have an incorrect correction.
Oh, go ahead.
You said Kermit Washington. I'm pretty sure it's Kermit Alexander.
Yeah, Washington's you're right. The basketball
Kermit
player.
Washington that
punched Rudy Tomjanovich.
He punched Gale Sayers.
There's lots of Kermits out here.
No, thank you for great that. Name. That's important. Specificity is very important when I'm talking about Gale Sayers. He was the Pro Bowl MVP three times. When the Pro Bowl was the Pro Bowl. People cared about
the
Pro Bowl.
Oh, when they played
against
college kids?
No. It was the AFC against the NFC, and there was a rivalry there because the Super Bowl was just starting his second year in the league. But he had, I think, 10 rushes for 110 yards in one Pro Bowl. He had a 73-yard kickoff return in another Pro Bowl. I think it was in 68. I mean, can you imagine a guy, a fourth-year running back who is a star like Gale Sayers, returning punts in the or kickoffs in the Pro Bowl?
No.
Wow.
And for the Bears. Then... he was injured after the comeback year. He was injured. He played two games. I think he had 23 carries. Hurt his knee again.
Oh, geez.
Had another surgery. Tried to come back in 71. One exhibition game. Three carries. Two fumbles.
Aww.
He retired after
can
the
you
game.
Dig that?
Did they boo him?
No, I don't think they booed him. No.
What? That was today.
No.
They'd boo him.
Oh, no. And one other thing. I was trying to find this in case I made it up in my head because it sounds like a great story. But I think it's true. The first exhibition game they played after his knee injury, people were like, oh, boy, yeah, he's going to be the same. He returned a kickoff for a touchdown on the opening kickoff.
Cool.
Quite fucking cool.
Way to do it.
Yep. So
he did live.
He had a 99-yard run against Nebraska in college, too, as the Kansas come. So there you go.
Well, I mean, that was a good eulogy, but we really should get another eulogy from a person here.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. I woke up to the sad news the day that we lost Gale Sayers. Now, Gale Sayers was my all-time favorite football player.
Me too, Juice.
I said it often. I've never seen anybody run like him. When I was in high school, they only had like one college game a week.
He's already making it about himself in Juice fashion, which is just wonderful.
It took 3 seconds.
It really did, Juice. It really did. Way to go, Juice. All right. Tell us more stories about yourself.
So I never saw Gale play in college. It wasn't until I was watching a Bob Hope special, an All-American special.
Bob Hope.
And he was introducing each player. And when he introduced him, he showed a little footage of him. First time I ever saw him run. And I said, oh, my God, Juice. You think you could ever do that?
He says Juice to himself? He calls himself Juice?
Well, about a year later, I was playing in our junior college San Francisco championship against San Jose, and I ran for 6 touchdowns. And when the game was over, it was the first time a USC coach ever approached me to ask if I wanted to be a Trojan. And, you know, as you know, the rest is history.
Well, what about Gale Sayers?
Two murders?
In the newspaper, I was full of myself. Following day, a Sunday, the 49ers are playing against the Chicago Bears, and Gale Sayers rushed for 6 touchdowns. Not rushed.
No, he had a punt
scored
return.
6 touchdowns.
He had a catch,
in
too.
Every conceivable manner. Punt return, kickoff return,
no, there was no kickoff return.
Rushing. And that year, his rookie year, he scored 22 touchdowns, an NFL record. Well, it was years later, I was able to break that record. And what made it super special for me, it was Gale Sayers' record. I never really met Gale. I saw him before a game once, a preseason game.
Gotta be in 16. Wait, he broke what record?
Oh, had a few words.
Single season touchdowns?
Years later, Bob Costas asked me to come on his radio show. We were doing the NFL Live together then. And he had a surprise for me when I got there. It was Gale Sayers. First time I had met Gale to talk to him for any length of time. And Gale, much like his Brian Song persona, was a man of few words. I love Brian Big.
But it was a thrill for me to
finally meet him and talk to him. Well, we've lost him now.
We've.
My condolences to his family.
Fake.
God bless you, Gale. And in the words of Bob Hope, thanks for the memories.
I'm just saying.
Oh, jeez.
What an asshole.
I mean, he told that story, what, 5 minutes there? Just to say that he beat Gale Sayers' record. It's the only reason.
God. In a 16-game season, I think.
You got it.
A couple of interesting Gale Sayers days. He had, I want to say, 339 yards in a game that was a record his rookie year. I think that was a 49ers
game. On purpose?
Yeah, all purpose. Kickoff returns, punt returns. I think that game he had 134 yards on punt returns and none on kick returns for some reason. I don't know why, because he was returning kicks that year. 9 carries for 113 yards and 2 catches for 89 yards. Then in December of 67, he had a 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, a 58-yard punt return for a touchdown, and a 15-yard run for a touchdown. One other interesting date, October 31st, my birthday.
By the way, you would never guess who owns the record now for the most all-purpose yards in one game. And I only bring it up because...
Flipper Anderson or somebody? No.
No, we
Calvin?
We had an ID from this guy. And his
Tony
voice,
Dorsett?
Glenn Milburn.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Milburn?
Yes.
So he must have had a bunch of punt kickoff returns, right?
I'm sure it was all kick and punt returns. But do you remember his...
oh, yeah.
Hi!
Hi! It was very...
Who's that dude?
I remember getting that ID and Walters and I were like, oh, my God. I didn't know he sounded like that.
Was he in the backfield with touchdown Tommy Vardell in college? Was he at Stanford?
Milburn?
Yeah,
boy, I don't remember.
Anyway. Also, Halloween 1966... A loss to St. Louis. He had 19 carries for 68 yards, 1 catch for 80 yards and a touchdown, 1 pass for 39. He did throw left-handed, and he has some great highlights where he goes out on the wing, fakes the pass, pulls it down, and takes off. But he did have a completed pass 39 yards for a touchdown in that game, and he returned 1 punt for 15 yards. So
just wanted Halloween this year.
He would put up these very strange kind of statistical days that you don't see anymore because great running backs don't return kicks and punts. And they don't throw very often either. Huh. I don't know what his career passing stats were. They were pretty good, though. Wow. So, oh, boy.
Wow. Gale Sayers with the longest eulogy possibly ever on the show.
And I swear, I thought we did a Cliff Notes for Brian's song. I feel disappointed. Like, why am I remembering that we did one and we didn't do one?
I remember you writing one. I don't ever remember recording it or doing it.
Man.
But I thought hearing one where it's you guys doing all the voices up until the mashed potato drop, and then you actually use the drop.
Well, maybe we did do one.
That's not, you know, I swear.
I don't remember that at all. We don't have it in the library.
I can't find it.
Facebook, does anybody remember us doing Cliff Notes for Brian's song?
I really feel like, I think we might have even brought in Walter to do Gale Sayers' voice.
Really?
Song. Could be. Or maybe he was
working
Pick.
With him back then?
Yeah, he was... He was doing some work, some sidelines.
This is Walter, your boof announcer for the Red Shovel Network.
Wow.
It's kind of like the Wrecking Crew. It just does a lot of that sort of thing.
Right.
Well, boy, I didn't even read the sponsor with all that eulogy. That was an important eulogy.
People say we did do one.
I swear, I thought I remembered it. But where would it be? How could we not have that?
That must have been a terrible one.
Dan will find it.
Oh, Dan, you're right. Dan probably will
Dan
find
Evans.
It.
Dan Evans. Wait. Finds it all.
Did we do this on 105.1?
Yeah, I think
maybe.
We might have played it once there. That's
maybe.
Where I remember it from.
I found it.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Okay, well, hold that thought, because we should play it. Maybe we should break up the Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
although it's a good Cliff Notes, I think. Since
I'm telling you, we should do a Cliff Notes on the Road Warrior / Legion of Doom, where Animal is Gale Sayers and maybe Hawk is Brian Piccolo. We could do this. It could be totally WWF themed.
Brandon, if you write it, I'm available. And Walter will be available, too. Since 2017, the Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources they may not have gotten otherwise. Anyone struggling with a substance use disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, painkillers, cocaine, alcohol, can go into one of 100 participating police stations, ask for help without being arrested, and no fear of being arrested. Police officer will treat them with compassion, call a volunteer angel that will come to the police department and assist with paperwork and making phone calls to get them placed into treatment that day. The first step doesn't have to be the hardest, although it probably is. I bet once you do it, it's, you know, you're on your way. That is the hardest part.
Yeah.
There is hope. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more. Make the step towards recovery. HopeNotHandcuffs.com. See the list of police. They're virtually all of them are involved. And I think it's a very sincere program, and it's been very helpful. I hope it helps some more people. And Royal Oak, well, the DDA getting fired up for the Downtown Day across Michigan. And Downtown Royal Oak is doing a big giveaway. So this Saturday is Downtown Day, the 26th. The contest starts on the 25th. If you want to win $1,000 in Royal Oak bucks, and as you know, you can spend them almost anywhere, contest will be posted on September 25th to Instagram at @downtown_Royal Oak. We've got the link, too, to the info on our website. To enter, post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in Downtown Royal Oak. Tag @downtown_Royal Oak and use the hashtag MI D and then the rest of Downtown without capitals and then D small letters AY. It sounds hard, but just
I don't know how much the capital.
I don't think the capitalization matters.
Okay. Yeah, for a hashtag it shouldn't matter, should it?
Doesn't matter, no.
Okay. Duh. Head to Downtown Royal Oak's Instagram page to follow along and learn more. And don't forget to visit Downtown Royal Oak for Downtown Day this Saturday. I think that's the tag that the entire state of Michigan is using for Downtown Day. So that's why. I mean, so complain to the state of Michigan. Complain to Whitmer. Contest runs till October the 11th at 11:59. So you got plenty. You got over 2 weeks to do this and hopefully get drawn and win yourself $1,000 in spendables in Royal Oak at the many places. Like Right Impressions and Made in the Mitten and Goldfish Tea and the ice cream place. Oh, my God, did they do well. The dessert place is killed in the Royal Oak Bucks and still can kill because so many of you have money left to spend. What is it? Dessert Oasis and Goodnight Gracie's.
Big Gay Ice Cream is the best.
Wow. I
forgot about that.
Unbelievable. Okay, so remind me about we got to do Clip Notes Theater, though.
Yeah,
that's funny. You convinced me that we didn't do one. I was like, God, am I stupid?
I said I just don't remember doing it.
I don't remember but I remember writing it.
If we did it at 105.1, then I probably didn't. That's probably the one I didn't put together. I'm assuming Brandon did.
Brandon,
do you remember putting it?
He doesn't even remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember putting it together. I remember. I thought I heard it. I thought maybe we played it at 105.
It was the most overdue Cliff Notes Theater of all time.
It must not be
no
that good.
No show has ever talked about Brian's song more than our show. Yeah, no show in the history of the world.
It's true.
As Billy D. Williams knows. Okay. All right. Well, Gail Sayers out of the way. So I guess, we should talk about Breonna Taylor because it was a big day in Louisville. The city was boarded up. Brandon, you were referring to some of the specifics. I mean, they were really going all out to
smart
avoid any kind of debacle or damage to the downtown businesses and closing off roads. And I don't know how it's going now. I saw you sent me a couple things, Brandon, where people were tweeting, burn it down! Which, what really?
Yeah.
Burn it down? Come on. Don't burn it down. That doesn't help. That actually hurts the cause, doesn't it? I mean...
Oh.
Okay, that's not Twitter. That's downtown Louisville today, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's downtown Louisville.
Everyone's mad about the U-Haul with the signs that showed up.
Well, what do they have, shields and what else?
They had signs. I didn't see shields. Did you see shields, Brandon?
That's what Brandon said.
That was just according to the...
Let's go! Oh, there's the U-Haul. Okay.
It's almost like giving away free t-shirts at a radio station. Everyone just starts flooding the U-Haul. It's like free stuff.
I think that people were upset because they felt it was organized.
Yeah, abolish the police.
Of course it's organized.
Well, this thing, you know, honestly, I've read virtually all these shootings. I've read just about everything you can read about them that's worth reading. And Breonna Taylor, for some reason, I really hadn't dug into. I was just so, this is so wearying. This topic is frustrating. It's maddening. In this case, I didn't know a ton about, and today I got my fill because I watched CNN for 2 hours to watch the Attorney General.
CNN? What?
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about that, Mark. I should have said an unidentified network.
Oh, well, fake news.
And the first thing was I felt bad for the Attorney General. Because
on the cop side.
Oh, well, he's black, though. He's a black guy. I mean, I think he was legitimately upset about the whole thing. And by the way, this guy is a rising star. He's 34 years old. He played football at University of Louisville, Daniel Cameron.
But he's Mitch McConnell's protege.
Yeah, I realize he is a Republican. He's called a racist. Right. He's called a racist in Uncle Tom all the time. I mean, this guy gets, that's why I felt bad for him, because he got gets completely slammed. And then not only that, this guy got so attacked from, among others, Beyonce's mom. Now, I feel so stupid for knowing this, but I read the story about he got engaged in May. Oh. Or was it June or July? It was maybe a couple months after Breonna Taylor died, which was that March? It was March of this year.
Yeah.
And so he posted
March 13th.
He posted pictures of him and his wife, who happens to be white, by the way. not that doesn't, we're just saying. And he gets blasted for, you know, how dare you post engagement pictures when no one has charged Breonna Taylor's killers?
I guess he always has to be on the clock.
Yes. And Beyonce's mom is among them. Well, Beyonce's mom, by the way, has...
How many great artists that pussy broke?
Well, that's true.
I mean,
two.
I mean, one great artist, I guess, and one minor artist, I assume.
She has... This is Beyonce's mom. 2.7 million followers. Why do people follow me? Really?
Because
really?
Her vagina or uterus broke two major artists.
And made Blue Ivy possible.
Oh, that's
well.
True.
Look
yeah.
at that.
Sure, great.
So it's three artists.
Ivy. Oh, awesome. Jesus. Anyway,
Blue Monday.
She blasts the Attorney General. Instead of charging the killers of Breonna Taylor, Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron had an engagement party. And where are the masks? Do people wear masks for engagement pictures? No, I mean, if you're making engagement pictures, would you wear a mask? And I mean, wouldn't that sort of obscure your face in your engagement picture? I'm just saying. Breonna Taylor's family also called him out for celebrating his engagement and called it a slap in the face, and then on and on and on from there. So anyway, this is the guy who has to deliver the news today that the grand jury, and he really did sort of throw it off on the grand jury. Hey, wait, a grand jury, what can I do? The grand jury decided to charge one of the three cops with a felony charge that I guess he can get. I think there's three charges, though, so I suppose he can get 15 years? Or are they, I mean, is that what you guys heard?
Yeah, that's the maximum. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this guy was charged for recklessly shooting into the building, into the apartment number 4, and also putting people in apartment number 3 at risk.
Yeah.
So he essentially was charged with shooting at people that he was not shooting at.
Yeah.
And not shooting Breonna Taylor, not shooting at Kenneth Walker.
The charge is basically he knew what he was doing was risky. He just didn't care. It's a charge.
He endangered people. So then there were three really good questions, I thought. The media was... They were asking some great questions, and I thought, for the most part, Daniel Cameron sort of put it off of the grand jury, which is the grand jury. I mean, they were given all the facts, and I'm not saying, by the way, the grand jury did the right thing. Fuck if I know, but the grand jury is usually a pretty good way to go if you want to be independent, is grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the grand jury came up with. I mean, it's a more complicated case than most people will have you believe.
I got to tell you, who is surprised with this outcome?
People who support Breonna Taylor because they want someone charged. Sure, they want someone to pay for this.
And I understand that.
I do too.
I mean, she's sleeping. Whatever the situation is, that individual is sleeping. She wakes up and is shot. You would want some justice. However, the law protects law enforcement, as it should, because it's an insane job. So that's the protection of it. I just, anything you read leading up to this, this is kind of what the outcome was expected, and it sucks.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm disappointed in this. I feel that the decision to make this, to barge into this place, I'll get to the details in a second, but the decision to go after Breonna Taylor, that's what I feel is the most in question. And I feel like nothing has really been said or determined about why it is that she was such a threat. Now, she's not... I don't want to pick on Breonna Taylor, but I will tell you, I dove into it today, and there was some information provided between CNN and some other networks. I'll tell you about that in just a second. We got a little behind because the Gail Sayers death, of course, was so important. But first, our zany friends at Zod Ford and Holly and DealsNadie.com are doing it again. They brought back everyone's favorite month, Truck Month, which means right now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks. Includes the number one selling truck in America for 42 straight years, the legendary Ford F-150, and then there's the all-new Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford, lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month, or see the hottest staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabar and Company still have Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details and surf their endless, massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Galdo, they've had their return. They're back, and they're doing LASIK, and they're doing multifocal lens replacements, and people are throwing out. They literally have a giant garbage can there. People bring all their contacts, glasses, everything, all that stuff, that fluid you need, and all those compartments, and they just throw it in there. Wow. Because you don't need it.
Look at me. I'm looking for the trash can.
Exactly. And they're giving you $1,500 off the regular price because they're trying to get back and make up for lost time. My God, I mean, how many months were they off? 4.5, yeah. 5 months? And, you know, like a lot of people.
I love your eyes.
You don't just open the doors and have appointments all day long. So they're trying to give you some incentive. Also, if you drag that friend in and stick them in the chair and they get surgery, it's an additional half off. So... plus, it pays for itself in the money you'll save on eye exams and all the contact lens and glasses crap you spend for every year. So get a free evaluation, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell me you want the Drew and Mike discount. Okay. Hall Financial Hotline, by the way. We have there's excitement in the Hall Financial Hotline.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there's an old bird who bowled, what did she bowl? Perfect game?
Well, 300, right?
It's incredible. Yeah.
Did she have a whole series or just the one game? Some actual audio.
A no-tap 300. What does a no-tap mean?
No-tap 300.
Oh, here it is. Knocking down 9 or more pins with every ball. Well, wait, how would
it's
you
not 300.
If you didn't
yeah, that's... What, oh, yeah. No-tap is when you get 9. It counts as a strike. Okay.
Oh, man. Am I going to have to give her shit for this? That's bullshit.
It's like the equivalent of the ladies' tee?
Yes.
Kind of.
It's worse, Trudy. Man, I am so tired of hearing, you know, this is like everything else. You got to dig in deep to find out the truth. Why can't anyone print what is real? And
well, it's nice, though, that they call it a no-tap 300 instead of a 300.
Well, I saw it.
I guess Tommy would have had a no-tap 300 because didn't he have, like, the 299 game? And it was all because of a 9 at the final frame or something?
It was called... A 300, because Brandon, I saw a couple things about it too, in addition to what you sent, and they just said, oh, this 96-year-old lady bowled a 300. That's incredible. And I was picturing this, you know, this incredible intensity, the whole lane, nobody even taking a breath while she throws that 12th strike ball, and I'm seeing that ball hook into the middle, and bam! And now I find out it's a no-tap 300.
Yeah. Oh,
10 frames. That's for Quakers.
I'll tell you, there was another athletic feat today, and I hate to pounce and criticize a six-month-old, but I'm going to have to do it. I left my notes upstairs.
This is your youngest person.
Well, Trudy, it's not the age, it's the achievement.
Oh, I know this story.
Is he
going to
be talking about that?
Don't spoil it, Brandon. Yeah. Oh, stop stealing his thunder.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I'll edit that out.
It's funny because I saw the headline in my head and went, "There's no way this is true," and just skipped over it. Is there a video of it?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
There is.
Oh God, yeah. That's where I first saw it.
All right, cue up the video for when he gets really mad about it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's really funny.
It is pretty funny.
I thought it was impressive, but yeah, I read the comments, and it was so much like, oh my God.
What about the?
But now people still don't know what it is because I totally bleeped that out.
Well, what about the chick who surfed the biggest wave possibly ever? Right?
Wait, what?
Did you guys see that?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
The crimson wave. What'd she do?
She's broken the record for surfing one of the biggest waves. Like,
what? She fall out of a boat, and then the wave just pushed her into shore, and they counted that as surfing.
No,
it was the Titanic. It was Rose on a door, and a wave just pushed her into shore.
Oh, that would have been excellent!
Biggest wave I've ever seen. Congratulations, woman!
That's how they should have ended it. No, a 75-foot wall of water, and she surfed that mother.
A woman? No way!
A woman. Whatever. She actually pointed that out, too. To be a woman and to have done this? Woohoo.
Wait, isn't it easier for a woman to surf? You're more buoyant? I don't know.
More buoyant.
Lower center of gravity. I'm just trying to find ways to discredit it.
We have our own floaties.
Brandon, can you see if you can find the parents of the six-month-old water skier?
After he stole your thunder.
Oh, the parents?
Yeah, so we could maybe do a phone. I mean, I'll talk to the six-month-old.
I looked him up like a week ago, and I couldn't find him a week ago, but I'll do a double check.
That's not water skiing.
No, it's total bullshit, Mark. And they teased this. It was the front of the Today Show. Like, oh, my God, 6 months of water skiing. I'm picturing this, you know, huge horsepower boat.
I don't know about what.
Pulling up this, you know, the kid holding onto the rope and being pulled up, maybe even slaloming.
No, he's
that good.
He's basically just attached to a makeshift. That kid's
shitless. It's like a training ski.
Yeah, it's like a
with
walker.
A bar.
It's a walker.
Yeah, he's being held up by, he's holding onto a bar. If you can hold onto a bar, you can water ski. In a 6-month-old's world.
His feet are strapped in. I bet you his hands are strapped on.
His feet are strapped in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're not. You guys,
yes,
come
they
on.
Are.
They're
you just
not
show the video.
I don't even know if it was a boat pulling this kid.
Were his parents like 1-6 inches away from him?
Yes, the dad was right next to him.
He's totally strapped in.
If he's behind a boat, the boat's idling. I mean, that's how slow this guy is going.
For starters, when you go on a wakeboard or, you know, some kind of a board like this, you're going to put your feet in. You have to put your feet in. That's how the board sticks to your feet. Yeah. Number two, he's not harnessed onto it. If this kid falls off, he's got that life preserver to save his life.
He's holding onto a bar. He doesn't have a rope. You have to have the rope, and you got to get pulled up by the boat. This kid isn't. Where was he pulled up?
What tension is that kid pulling back on? Nothing. that bar is taking all the tension because that's onto the rope.
You know, the boat floors it, and it pulls you up out of the water. This kid didn't get pulled up out of the water. I don't think that thing sinks.
Look, I could ski on that thing, so it doesn't count. If I can do it, it doesn't count.
Bullshit. This six-month-old will wipe the floor with you guys on the lake.
Bullshit.
If I had that thing,
This thing was created so some overly braggadocious parent and some narcissistic baby can claim the child water skied.
I got to tell you, too, the look on that baby's face is, why the fuck are you making me do this?
Yeah, the baby
give a shit.
The baby could be riding in a car for all he knows.
He actually may have crapped his pants while he was doing it.
Probably.
He's like, this is just like being in a car, except why am I getting wet? What's going on? And what's this life preserver?
Yeah, this sucks. Why am I doing this? I don't want to be standing right now. I'm 6 months old.
If you can find these phonies, I would appreciate it so we can call them on the Hall Financial Hotline because Hall Financial wants you to know mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. Some people can actually get 2.5. Now, all the cards have to fall, right? You'd have to have great credit and all that. But people are getting 2.9, 2.75. God, I was still shocked the tree has a 2.75.
Why? Why are you shocked?
I don't know. I just
Why do I look irresponsible?
No, I just didn't expect your credit to be that good.
Hey, it was pretty good.
Really good. Is that your thriftiness? Do you credit your thriftiness for that?
Yeah, possibly.
Frugality?
Could be part of it.
Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors, and virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot in your home. So make money by saving money with Hall Financial. Live how you want. And, boy, people save anywhere from, it seems like, $150 to $400 a month. I mean, somewhere in there, most of them are, and that's a lot of money to save. NMLS number 1467435. Call 248-308-5000 for the Equal Housing Lender, Hull Financial. Or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike or click the link on our website. Okay. So, you know, I've always wondered, and do you guys know, or do you wonder, like, gee, why were they going after Breonna Taylor anyway?
Well, it was her boyfriend before the guy that she was in bed with, right?
Right. Jamarcus Glover. By the way, this guy, thanks a lot, Jamarcus, for bringing all this down on Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, he's alive.
Yes, he is. And this guy, I am not a fan of this guy for a couple reasons. When she was his girlfriend, she posted his bond in 2017. So she kind of gets on the radar by getting him out. He was arrested in 2020, and he's calling Breonna Taylor from jail multiple times. And in one call, specifically that I think her family and friends talk about, is the fact that she's telling him that he is causing her stress because when he's around, his interactions with police, this all sort of bleeds into her life. Yeah. And she almost sounds like she's trying to be free of him, or she wants him to, you know, change his behavior or whatever. So then he gets back on the radar when he gets out because his car is towed. So what does he do? He sues the city for towing his car.
Oh, nice.
Now, if you were a massive drug dealer, would you sue the city for towing? I mean, it just seems like a bad idea.
Lay low, right?
So the phone number that he uses in the lawsuit is Breonna Taylor's phone number. So, you know, the city is feeling that somehow there's still this connection, and they would learn later through calls that Glover made to the mother of his child. Now, somebody explain to me why the mother of his child and Breonna Taylor's getting calls. What's going on there? Strange, but anyway, he's calling the mother of his child, and he's saying to her that Breonna Taylor is holding money for him. Now, I don't know why he's saying this in a recorded line, but he said, the quote is, Bree got down like 15 grand. She had the 8 grand I gave her the other day, and she picked up another 6. So it sounds like, you know, I'm not making excuses for them or saying, I don't know, why don't they go after this guy? Why are they going after her? It doesn't sound like she's dealing drugs. She's just holding money for him. But nonetheless, that I guess we'll never know that because it's the officers who become the main target. Because they shot the bullets that killed her. And there were three great questions today. Most of the questions, I felt the attorney general, who I talked about earlier, I thought he just laid it off on the grand jury, and that was probably what anybody would do because, you know, it's an independent group, and they decided this, and don't blame me. But these are the questions I thought were really good. One person wanted to know the composition of the grand jury in terms of sex and race, and he would not reveal that, and that was because they're promised anonymity. I think the grand jurors are very concerned in this case in particular about not being known. But I still feel like they could tell us the sex and the race of the people, of the composition, couldn't they? Is that really? Isn't that being a little overly paranoid?
I don't know that you can be overly paranoid. I actually feel like all jurors should be.
Yeah, they should. Anonymous. You're right. They should.
They should not be able to.
And the mob. Anonymous. And why does it seem that the mob always knows their names and is able to get to them and
target them,
offer them bribes? Yeah. And then this question I thought was excellent. It was not answered at all. And I feel like as much as he knew the case, he should have been able to explain this. Why was Breonna Taylor hit 6 times and Kenneth Walker was not hit? Now, I think that's a great question because Kenneth Walker shot. The first shot was fired by Kenneth Walker. He is Breonna Taylor's boyfriend. He is sitting in the house and
laying.
This is a this is a no-knock warrant, so they don't have to knock. They can just bust the door down. Mm-hmm. But they were told to announce themselves. Mm-hmm. They said they announced themselves.
Witnesses say that too.
The grand jury agreed that they did announce themselves as the police. They knocked the door down. Kenneth Walker shot at the which officer was it? Mattingly, I believe, was hit by the shot right away. And, of course, that unleashes a fury. Well, once an officer is shot, wham, 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 wham. But Breonna Taylor's hit, but Kenneth Walker isn't hit. Why is she hit 6 times? I thought that was a great question, and it wasn't really answered. And then, did the officers testify, which he also wouldn't really answer, the path of the bullets, why was she hit six times, he was not hit, composition of grand jury. Oh, and then why were they even there? That was, I thought, maybe the best question. Why was there a no-knock warrant? They were supposed to announce themselves, and they said they did, but why would they have a warrant to bust in on Breonna Taylor? And I felt like, don't we deserve an answer to that question?
Yeah, the governor wants him to release more of the evidence, just, I assume, to answer those questions.
Well, it sounded like...
Why was the warrant approved?
That is not going to be answered anytime soon. It might be later, and we might hear what the grand jury said later, but for now, not much. So what's going on in Louisville, by the way? Do we have a picture of what's going on? Is it
no,
peaceful
Trump,
at all?
There have been a few arrests, but it's not night yet.
Nighttime.
And Trump's talking right now, so...
I got to tell you, this thing is so complicated, though, because, you know, you've got three officers who just start firing because there's a shot at them, which was the first shot. And again, not a lot of disagreement about that. And people want to know, you know, whose shot killed Breonna Taylor, but they all have the same gun. And so from trajectories, they pretty much determine that the officer who's charged did not hit Breonna Taylor. The two other officers both hit her, and this Hankinson fired through a sliding door and through a bedroom window, and all he did was basically put apartment three at risk by sending bullets into apartment three.
Yeah.
They're, of course, suing the police like crazy.
That's the napper, yeah.
And he's the one who was charged. The other two, they said they had a right to return fire because they were right behind. They were both entered the apartment at one time. Mm-hmm.
But the question remains, why? Is there a warrant?
Yeah, and I think that's
for her.
To me, that's the best question of all, other than why she is shot. I still can't understand why in the world she would be shot and he isn't. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, totally, just total irresponsible speculation. But if he's up and fired, he might take cover. She's just waking up, going, "What?" You know, maybe she was awakened by his gunshot.
Yeah, maybe he fired from where he was laying next to her. I don't know.
Well, they tell us though where these two people were in a relationship.
Oh, sure.
We know that relationship, and that wouldn't 100%. That be helpful?
Yeah, it'd be very helpful.
I mean, I don't think it's going to make anyone happy.
But you see
happy.
What I'm saying? Like, if he he is awakened by them coming in and fires and gets down on the ground or hides behind something, and she's still in bed and pops up at that gunshot, then they're going to shoot whatever they see and whatever moves.
What, and why, you know, I still don't understand why, if the police announce themselves and someone's knocking on the door, I mean, that he even himself says, yes, they knocked on the door. I didn't hear them say police. Mm-hmm. The neighbor disagrees with that and says they did say.
There's some witnesses that say they did, some that say they didn't. I mean, who
Were
knows?
Were they asleep, though?
Yeah, they are asleep. And so, you know, I don't know if people saying they didn't hear means that, I mean, doesn't mean they slept through it or they, you know, I'm sure they woke up with the gunshots. But
about what it was.
Anyway, I just don't know why you'd shoot at a policeman coming through the door. It seems like such a bad idea.
Well, you probably don't think it's a policeman.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, that
if,
was...
If you don't hear them announce themselves, maybe you just think it's... And you're a drug
somebody
dealer.
Breaking in.
But he knows someone's knocking at the door, and if they're knocking at the door, I would think he would at least take an interest in who's knocking at the door. I mean, they didn't knock the door down right away.
No, I know, but if someone's knocking at my door at that time, I don't know.
I'm sure as fucking...
God, no, I would never answer.
I'd sleep through it.
I would damn sure look out the window, though, and see who the hell it is. Anyway.
I'd go, so sleeping.
So,
you know, I frequently do that when I think I hear people in the house, and then I'm like, oh, well, whatever, fuck it. I'm still going to go back to sleep.
I don't know. It could get ugly tonight. You know, when it gets dark, you have a lot of influencers and you have a lot of celebrities.
Sounds like
that are
Brandon's rooting
off.
For a riot.
You know, I mean, you have your politicians like AOC and Bernie Sanders, but now you have the actors, the Schitt's Creek people. Common had posted something regarding Malcolm X, Viola Davis, Kerry Washington, Justin Bieber. These are big stars.
Well, you know, and I thought Cameron did the best he could to try and forestall that. He said there will be celebrities and influencers that will suggest they know better. They will try and influence your thinking and capture your emotions. I urge those protesting, peaceful protesting is your right. Instigating violence and destruction is not. He
Who's
also
Justice Bieber.
And he implied that they're not going to just sit there and watch people tear that city up. So this could be I'm like you, Brandon. I feel like when it gets dark, that's when I start really getting concerned.
I've seen people say that they had the wrong house. So did they not have the warrant for that house? Like that's one that's still
that
going
did not
on,
come. Right? That did not come up today. If that is a concern or was a real thing, I don't know why they didn't talk about it.
Meanwhile, there's a live police chase going on in Broward County.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But what county?
Broward, isn't that in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, might be.
Is it any good?
You know what? It looks like it's over. Oh, why is that always the case? It started 17 minutes ago. I'm mad that I didn't get to see it.
I've sat through some really long ones recently in California.
Now that's what I call a joyride.
By the way, last night, did anybody see the channel? Channel 4 did the story. I'm assuming some other people did. They had a police video of a Detroit officer who was dragged and almost killed by a guy trying to get away. He just like was jumping in his car and he's trying to pull him out of the car. And the guy starts the car and he drags the officer who's trying to drag him out. I don't know how far it was, but it was around 11:05 last night.
Was it the night cam?
It was right after or right before the night cam. But anyway, there's been discussion about this today as to apparently police watching this video are saying he should have shot that motherfucker. That was everything in the world that would call for being shot. His life is in danger, and he did. The cop is injured. I don't know how badly. I guess he's going to make it. But and then of course, speculation that, you know, are cops getting gun shy when they shouldn't be?
Well, why didn't he? Could he not get to his gun, or did he not want to shoot it?
I don't know. They didn't say. It's, you know, people are just seeing the video, and I don't know if he's said much about it yet.
People are assuming that he chose not to. Maybe
he had time to shoot him. He could have shot him. But, you know, there was another case like this where that guy ran at the cop and he shot him a couple times. He gets up and he goes after this other cop who doesn't shoot him. And he literally, you saw it, Brandon, we watched it on the show, I think.
I think it was from last year, though.
It was an old
video
one?
Video has been circulating.
So hard to say if he would have been influenced by, well, I don't know what would have been going on then. Yeah. Anyway, this just goes on and on and on, and it just doesn't seem to get better for Kentucky or for Louisville. I don't know. I just hope that, you know, I hope this doesn't get really messy. And I would not think that Louisville is the only place where people would be raising hell tonight.
Well, they're in Frankfort, obviously, because that's the capital. Isn't that the
what
capital
a
of
dumb
Kentucky?
Capital name by
Frankfort?
Isn't that the Frankfort.
Isn't that the capital of Kentucky?
It is.
Yeah, I
didn't
so.
Know that. Yeah, why don't I know that?
I don't know. Maybe it's an incorrect correction.
How big
but I thought,
is, no, I don't know. Right. I honestly, I would have assumed that Louisville or
one of the big cities. You
yeah.
You small city yeah. Racist.
Kentucky.
I guess so.
It's not always the biggest city, right?
Oh boy. So, let's see. Who am I mad at today?
Who aren't you mad at?
I'm not really mad. I mean, I'm mad Gelsair's died.
Who are you mad at in that situation?
Gelsair's situation?
Yeah, I'm going to be mad at someone.
I'm not really mad. I just wish Pick hadn't died. actually, Meg and Harry were angering me today.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to shut the fuck up so bad, but I feel like the country, I feel like we are so gullible now, and aren't we falling for these idiots?
No, I'm pissed off, Drew, that the fact that this used to be England's problem, England's tabloids,
exactly.
And now we have to hear about this shit.
and they're preaching to us, and who are they? They're nobody. She sat in a pink wiener, and all of a sudden I have to take a lecture from her every 5 minutes.
It is every day. There's multiple stories.
She posted this thing today, which, by the way, the UK is very angry about because they're supposed to shut up about politics. Mm. Or and people are demanding, Piers Morgan, I believe, demanding their royal titles be completely stripped. Now they've
no
done it.
More politics.
Meghan said, and I mean, I just want, I was going to say I want to punch her, but obviously I wouldn't punch Meghan. She said,
every 4 years we're told this is the most important election of our life. But this one is. When we vote, we put our values in action.
Oh, really? So she's an expert on what voting does and how we vote? And
did you see the story last week? Was it Gloria Steinem? Is she still alive?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, she was giving an interview, and she talked about how she's friends with Megan. Came to her, you know, because of course she has to suck everyone's time up so she can learn something. But Megan apparently, allegedly, and maybe you can sick your forensic accountants on this, has been cold calling voters in California to get them to register.
Oh, come on! Don't waste people's time.
She acted like these people really responded talking to Megan on the phone.
Hi, this is Meghan Markle. I'm just cold calling people.
I got to tell you, though, I think that's the perfect job for her.
How stupid is that?
I'd lock her in a room and just let her call one person at a time all day long.
I don't want to hear about it then. I don't want her telling me about what she found out. I just don't want to know anything. She can call people all she wants.
How stupid is what a terrible use of your time.
I know.
One person at a time. Meghan and Harry right now.
If she even did it.
No, I don't believe she... Well, you're right. I don't believe she did it.
She probably did it like this. Don't forget to register to vote. Oh, yeah, huh? Just fake calling people.
It's a recorded line.
Yeah.
This whole thing about her meeting with all these community leaders, too, it's like, why should they have to use their time to talk to this idiot to get her up to speed? Oh, because she can tell us all what to do. And they can't.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. God.
Didn't Harry look a little bit bored while she was explaining all that, though?
Oh, yes, totally. I
he's
really kind of
side-eyeing her. Like,
is Harry going to stay in that marriage? Like, just somehow.
He's trapped now.
Long-term? No, he's out.
I give it one more year. One more year.
He's really put his ass in the line. He's completely changed everything in his life for her. So doesn't he have to pretend at least that it was a good decision for a while?
He does, but a year. And I think they'll take him back. Don't you?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They will.
Yeah. Because he'll be humble then.
I would think he would miss all those kind of, I don't know, he used to hang out with some chicks that were kind of fun and wild and like to party. And
now he's stuck with his boy.
I know. It just sounds like such a drag.
There's another story about the whole royal family's mad at him because he never told the queen about the Netflix deal. To which my thought was, why do you have to tell your grandma about a deal you're getting? That seems a little ridiculous.
I know, it is stupid.
But they're mad about it because Netflix puts out The Crown.
Oh!
And they're afraid that Harry's going to give them some more inside information, which I'm like, no, he's not. You know, maybe he is, but who cares? No one's going to believe it.
What's your problem, Grandma?
Oh, brother.
You didn't ask your grandma about your new job.
Well, there was also this story today about, let's see, where are my notes? I know, Mark, you said something earlier about the story Brandon sent about Joe Rogan, about being on Spotify and how Spotify is, according to some sources, it's really an interesting story, too, not just because whether there's really this much pressure against Joe Rogan in Spotify or whether Spotify is falling apart because they're so upset about Joe Rogan. But within the story, this is something with their company town hall meeting and people expressing concerns about his transphobic comments. What? The story doesn't make any sense because if people at Spotify are so upset about Joe Rogan and what he says, first of all, okay, he said something, he made a mistake, and he corrected it the next day, which, I don't know, did he used to do that in his old show?
I don't know. I mean, stupid mistake, but he gets credit for coming out as soon as he knew and saying that he was duped and he was wrong. He took a look in a full-length mirror and said he was wrong.
But supposedly, you know, people are angry. He made a mistake. He believed a conspiracy theory or something to that effect. The president and virtually every leader, politician, elected official in this country lie their fucking ass off. Look at the political ads running right now. Every politician is saying the other one is a liar or the other one does this and the other one says, no, he's a liar, he does that, and they never apologize. So isn't that, I mean, isn't there something commendable?
This man is lying his head off.
I don't really like any liars. I don't care what side they're on.
I actually really did think that that was a good moment for him, someone who has as many listeners.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, Spotify wants him because he has 10 million downloads a day. Does the content, I mean, are these people in Spotify who, by the way, their jobs are...
You're talking about that one now? Are you talking about his, I think, Trudy, you're talking about his apology, right?
Yeah, the fact that he realized the situation and he doesn't want to be a part of that.
But now you're talking about how some employees are upset.
Well, yes. I mean, well, both in a way. I mean, I agree. He made a mistake. He corrected it. Big deal. I mean, I don't even know why. I don't know why that's a big deal, especially because
I'll tell you why.
Who fucking cares?
Because a lot of people don't correct mistakes or admit that they were wrong. I mean, we've talked about this numerous times.
But any show that covers as much territory as Joe Rogan covers is going to be called names or, you know, Bernie Sanders supporters were livid because Bernie Sanders accepted his endorsement.
Okay, but now you're talking about someone disagreeing with your opinion. Big fucking deal. But, you know, if he's giving out
wrong information. It wasn't his opinion. It was because he's I don't remember what words were used or what he violated, but he I believe it was over. He doesn't have enough female guests. He doesn't have enough diverse guests.
He should not apologize.
And he's transphobic. And he's involved in some hate speech or something. I didn't even. It was so ridiculous to me. I mean, I think Joe Rogan is a pretty good guy. I've listened to his show, and I feel like he's a reasonable person. I don't think he's. I know he's had some crazy guests at times, and Alex Jones and things like that. But I'd have Alex Jones on if I could. Mm-hmm. But they were describing this free-thinking ideology, like he has some sort of mental process that is, just might not fit in the Spotify box. And I'm going, what? He has 10 million downloads a day. Who fucking cares?
What is he, a robot?
He's not doing anything horrific on his show. He's a free-thinking person.
That article was laughable. It was laughable.
Specifically the one from Vulture?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's another opinion piece the Toronto Star had, but same thinking. I just think it's laughable.
In what way?
A few employees of Spotify are mad because Rogan's on there. That's really what the story is. And who cares?
Well, I just don't know. I don't understand in these companies, who do these people think they are? I mean, their company spends $100 million to land someone, and they have nothing better to do but call people who write stories and tell them how upset the employees are that this person's employed who's going to make money for them.
Drew, not only that, I'm sure there's other podcasts they run that they probably wouldn't like or music that is on the platform that maybe they don't agree with.
Yeah, I don't agree with some music I hear.
So, yeah, that's...
well, the idea is...
Guess what? When you work for a company, sometimes you might not agree with everything they do, and that's just how it is.
You know what I find most interesting about the platforms, though, is they would have you believe that they all think the same thing, that they all think the same way, the right way. And they were even talking about how Obama's on Spotify, so they have to be very careful about what, that nothing would ruffle Obama's. They're paying Obama.
I agree.
They're paying him a lot of money. Is there anything to say about the other shows?
Well, I don't think... I don't think Obama's complained about Joe Rogan.
No,
has he?
I don't think he would. I think Obama would like Joe Rogan, to be honest.
I don't know. I don't know either way if he'd like him or not like him. But he would have more
I think
power.
He could sit down and talk to him. Why would Joe Rogan be such a horrible person that Obama would not want to talk to him or talk to him?
No, I think he would talk to him. I don't know if he's sitting there listening to him every day, but.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Obama's very interesting in that format. I would much rather listen to Joe Rogan on a podcast than Obama. It's not even close.
I don't think anybody would disagree with that. The point being, Obama doesn't have a problem with it. I think if he had a problem with it, Spotify would listen more than if some employees had a problem with it. In other words, he carries more weight there than the actual people that are doing the grunt work.
Well, I'm just kind of fascinated by these Google people who walk out of work. Because of some agreement with a CEO that left, who had had a relationship with somebody in the company or something that was was improper, and he got a golden parachute, mm-hmm. and so then people walk out of was it Google?
I don't remember.
One of them, but it just seems that they're always really angry about something, and they seem to feel that their opinion matters.
That's tricky because there are people that are mad at Amazon and how they treat the warehouse people, and I think those are some valid complaints, but then they get blown out because they talk. I mean, you've seen those people, mm-hmm. so it's... I think if you're complaining about an opinion of something, a product, like if you quit Amazon because they sell a dildo, get the fuck out. Who cares?
Well, you're not going to work
anywhere.
If
they're not treating you as an employee, then that's totally different. Spotify's treating you like...
I wouldn't... If I felt that Google treated me poorly, I would leave Google. I wouldn't try to rally people to, get in as many stupid websites as I could saying how terrible they are and expect them to change. I mean, is she really better off just going, this place sucks, like the, I'm moving like, on, like most people do.
Like that PR employee of the National Institutes of Health?
Who
was editing that one website ripping on Fauci when he works in PR underneath Fauci?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Pretty incredible.
The biggest COVID troll is Fauci's underling.
Fauci, yeah.
Well, I mean, doesn't this really relate back to social media? And I have a voice. My voice matters. Yeah. We all have a voice.
Hey, when did
it turns out that most people really shouldn't have a voice because they say dumb shit.
When did Rogan sign the deal with Spotify? Approximately, do we know?
A few months ago. 4 months ago. 5 months ago.
Has it been that long?
Wasn't that?
I just want to see what it's
maybe not that long.
What its stock price has done since he signed.
Oh, there was the story in that Vulture. They mentioned that the stock price surged when he signed.
Well, there's a definite surge from June 16th to June 24th. I mean, it just launched up skyward, and it's been down from there, but barely. So
well, that's a, you
so
know,
if those employees have stock options, they might want to shut the fuck up.
Well, wait a minute, though. Is there a corollary, though, with the coronavirus and people needing more music, though?
Yeah, maybe, but it was flat. It was flat for...
Well, that was June, though. They would have already seen that bump, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's up. It was up from March to where it was then, but it really... I mean, you can see a definite shoot up in that week in June.
Somebody that brings in 10 million downloads... 4 or 5 days a week. Is it 4 or 5 days a week he does, or is it 3 days a week?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's a game changer for a platform like that. That's nothing but good. And
the deal was announced May 19th, so it's up even higher from then.
Why don't we call this fake 300 bowler? I really want to find out why. I mean, maybe she just innocently bowled a no-tap 300 and wasn't going to make a big deal about it, and everybody just sort of went crazy, and it's not her fault. Maybe.
All right, give me a second.
I'm skeptical. I'll take a second, and I'll tell people that Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event, and it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. Start with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass, as low as $155 a month, or the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, how about a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4, as low as $188 a month for pure performance? Pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. Lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. Wranglers are not always this easy to get. Get details and shift their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Roche is doing his thing, which is
you should
what?
Take a look in a full-length mirror and then get your lumpy legs and your saggy ass and your boobs to Dr. Roche.
That would be one
in
way.
In that order.
That's one way to help.
No, he's an expert in breast augmentation. I think you'd agree, right?
Oh,
breast
yeah.
lifts and mm-hmm. implants, breasts sculpting is kind of one of the things that he's really good at. But he can do it all, actually, and you can go to their website to find out what procedure, if any, you think you would like, and then talk to them on the phone about it. Teleconsultations at 248-338-1110. Shape and crave the body that you want, and it boosts your confidence. And you can get your arms and your abs toned with Evolve. Carve out your muscle and tighten your skin. Special offers for the month of September. Call them for a teleconsultation. Again, it's 248-338-1110.
All righty. And Luke Nowacki of Pinnacle Wealth. He is COVID-free.
Yeah.
Sent me another. I think I got another long email from Luke.
Really?
I better read some of these. What the hell's going on?
Is this the mass mailing that he sends to all people who are invested?
Nope, Trudy, be nice to him. It was a special note just for you, Trudy.
The last one was, Trudy, it was a personalized message. I did get the long, long one that everyone gets. And I should read that, actually, because there's a lot of good information
there.
Yeah,
there's good stuff in there.
About the marketplace.
Nasty place to be right now.
Yeah, the market was getting shot down today, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did.
I saw the NASDAQ was down like 250 points.
Yeah, not a good day.
What did the Dow do?
It's all down. I didn't even want to look at it.
I don't want to. Let's see. Hey, it's a buying opportunity, Luke would say. Call Luke. Ask him what to buy. 248-663-4748. It sure is good to have some cash on the side ready to go if you're so fortunate in these coronavirus times. What does coronavirus mean now? What does it mean 6 months from now? What does this election mean? Stocks, bonds? Do you want to move some money into cash position for post-election? Your college savings plan? Is your company in the right investments? Is your pension fund meeting its projected return? What? How are you doing versus the market? Get advice. Get a strategy. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth. Have a consultation. You can do it over the phone. And he's doing. He's got to be doing the virtual thing, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just speak for him. Yeah.
It's. I mean, it's too bad because actually going into his office is cool as hell because
it's really nice.
That 13th story.
Oh, he could use it as his backdrop for any virtual. Oh, meeting, yeah.
Oh yeah. No, that's a beautiful view. I had no idea that building was that nice. They've got to be good because they got to be paying a lot of rent to be in that building. So they have to be good. 248-663-4748. You have the tag?
No, I've been fighting my computer for the last 5 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Screen Investment Advisory Service off the Reliance Associates Incorporated member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned by other entities and or marketing and product services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Computer's being a total dick.
Who's being a dick?
My computer.
What's going on? The hell's going on?
I don't know. It's pissing me off. Though.
I feel Sarah. Somewhat vindicated that there is a Cliff Notes Theater for Brian song.
Yeah.
Really freaking me out. Oh, what's her name?
Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah?
Hello?
Hi, is Sarah there?
Yes?
Sarah, this is the Drew and Mike Show calling about your bowling. We're in Detroit. We heard that you bowled a 300 game.
Yes, I did.
Congratulations. Uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. Yay. Very
now,
much.
And are you really 96 years old?
Yes, I'm going to be 97 in 2 months.
Well,
really? Yeah.
So you were born in
1923.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, my
November the 30th.
What's your first lifetime memory? What's the first thing you remember?
My lifetime memory?
Yeah, from when you're like 5 or 6. What do you remember? Anything you remember in particular?
The first thing you remember in your life.
Like, I remember Reagan being shot.
I came from a family of 13.
Whoa!
And I was the baby.
Wow!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things to remember as you get older.
Let's see. The first election you voted in was 1944.
I guess I'm not familiar with these dates now.
Do you remember?
When I was old enough to vote, I voted.
Okay, do you remember voting for Roosevelt in 1944?
Probably yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then did you vote for...
I was married in 1942.
Oh, boy. Do you remember if you voted for Dewey or Truman in 1948?
In 1948?
Yeah, it was Dewey versus Truman.
I don't remember. Yeah, that's okay. Been a while.
I know, who cares about these stupid people?
Talk about your bowling.
Exactly.
Who gives a fuck?
So, how long have you been bowling?
Since I was 27 years old.
Oh, wow.
And what did you at one point get really good at bowling? Did you take it up with a vengeance?
Oh, I really, yeah. I bowled in a sanctioned league. I've traveled with the sanction league, yeah.
Oh.
And I just love bowling, yeah.
And what's the highest average that you've carried?
A 180.
Wow.
So, and I don't carry it now, but that's what I carry it, yeah.
Wow. Had you ever bowled a 300 game before?
No, never, never.
Oh, that's incredible.
I bowled, the highest I bowled was a 259.
Oh, my God.
That's so a great close game, too. So
259.
What did it feel like when you got to the 10th frame? You've got nine strikes
in
a row.
Everybody got quiet, and that bothered me. It just got quiet.
Oh,
and then
pressure.
When I threw that strike, they screamed. Everybody screamed.
Ooh, did it
so
scare
that
you?
Was it. But it's a nerve-wracking when it gets very quiet. And we only have 14 bowlers.
How heavy is the ball, though?
Yeah, what weight ball do you use?
10-pound.
10-pound?
A 10-pound,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised
I've always,
I'm surprised it doesn't glance off the pins, jeez. So, strikes number 10, 11, and 12, the 10th frame, you got to roll 3 straight strikes.
Yeah, three strikes in a row.
Did you hit the pocket with everyone, or did you get a Brooklyn in there, or...
No, I'm a spot bowler on my spears, but not on my first ball. I bowl at the pins.
I see.
Who am I talking to?
This is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit, and
my God!
Yeah, we heard about
you all the way here. Isn't that crazy?
Oh my, it's crazy, and it's crazy around here.
Yeah, word really gets around, and actually, Brandon is here. Trudy is here. I thought Brandon told me something that it was some special kind of 300, like maybe it was better than a 300 because it was a nine-tap game or something like that.
Yeah, it for the special, for the seniors, he does that. If you get a nine, you get a strike.
Oh, I see. So
that's how it is.
But you got
it isn't a sanction game. It wasn't a sanction game. If you got a nine, you got a strike.
Oh, I see.
But
so,
I stayed on. I never missed.
Yeah. Oh, so you bowled 12 straight strikes?
Yes. Yes.
There was no nines.
Those nines, I must have bowled about five nines. They were strikes.
Yeah, they counted as strikes.
But
only
senior,
five times.
Does somebody just knock the extra pin down, or does the machine knock it down or something?
Oh, no. I didn't go for the extra pin. As long as nine pins fell, that's a strike.
So then you just push the button, and the sweeper takes it down, and you put a strike up there, like it was a real strike.
Yeah.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
uh-huh.
And were there any bumpers for this, or... Because you said it was a special game?
Oh, God, no.
True. Come on. That's what a ridiculous question.
Insulting.
Give it to him, man.
No, because I heard it was nine tap with bumpers. I don't know. It's crazy.
What are you talking about?
Bumpers are for kids.
Yeah. Housewives and little girls.
Stupid question.
Bumpers are for kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
he probably wants to know if you're going to use that dinosaur where you just roll the ball down. And I don't know if you've ever seen those tracks that kids use. It's ridiculous. Very rude.
Oh, that would never happen. So you don't, when you get the nine though in nine tap, you don't pick up the spare just for fun?
No, you don't. No.
Oh.
The gate comes down and picks it up.
Yeah.
I see.
Because you're in a groove.
So
you're in the zone.
Uh-huh. Don't really know what you're really bold.
Yeah.
Never know. We'll never know.
She would have picked them all up anyway, Drew.
I know, but...
You're right. I would have picked it up off anyway.
Absolutely.
He's trying to discredit you. I apologize for him.
You might have...
that's okay.
You might have beaten that 259 if it was a normal game, right?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that was a good game, yeah.
Did you ever...
I had a lot of 200 games, over 200 games, yeah.
Well, what's the most strikes that you threw in a row in your, quote unquote, 300 game?
I had eight in a row. And one of the ladies hollered out, "Hey, Sarah's got eight strikes in a row." And that's when they began to watch and get quiet. Yeah.
Wow. And how many people were at the lanes? Were there a lot of people watching, bystanders?
Well, no. There's only 14 of us. We used to have 25. And because of the virus, they didn't come back. They didn't come back. Yeah, we had 25, a beautiful league. But because of the virus, some of them didn't want to come back.
Did you bowl this 300 game, nine tap game? Did you bowl this with a mask on?
No.
Oh, you don't wear a mask?
No mask.
Well, do you not believe in masks?
I believe in them. When we have to wear a mask when we come in, but we have to sit far apart. And it's so hard to wear a mask when you bend down to throw that ball out and follow it through, your mask slides up in your face. It's too hard to bowl with the mask on.
Does some real wimpy people that wear a mask when they bowl?
Oh, yeah, there was a couple. Yeah.
Really? Did you give them a hard time?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. I'm not the only one. There's a couple that don't wear masks neither.
Was this part of a league that you're in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so were you trash-talking the other people while you were just crushing it? Were you talking trash to them?
No.
Have you ever?
Have you ever talked to anyone?
What do you mean by that?
You know, just give them some sass.
Yeah, like, did you see that turkey I just got? Look at that, you turkey. In your face!
Yeah,
suck my dick. Look at that turkey.
We kid around, And I'll say, now, let me see if you can do that.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Now, is this a nine-tap league?
A what?
Is the league a nine-tap league? I mean, is everybody playing nine-tap, or was this some special thing for you that you were doing?
Well, that's something he does for us, you know.
Since our
25 didn't come back, so he's very lenient with us, and he'll say, okay, now, instead, and I'm going to give you nine. If you get a nine, you're going to get a strike.
Yeah. Wow.
And you have to, okay, and I'd hit 9, Don. But then the gate would pick the other pin up.
Sure.
So basically, Sarah, you didn't want to play that way. That's just house rules, and you were a good sport about it.
Well, yeah, I wanted to play that way. It's good.
You're not helping, you're not helping my argument.
You'll take those pins. Yeah, I mean, why not? Anyway,
so,
but no.
I'll take everything they give me.
No, absolutely. Now, what about bumpers? What if they put bumpers out there? Would you take that?
No, I would never.
Oh,
no.
That's where she
I don't need
line.
Bumpers. Yeah. Okay. I don't need bumpers.
What if it's a 6-tap? I mean, are you in for a 6-tap?
Bumpers are somebody that throws in the gutter all the time.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
If you throw your ball in the gutter, you need a bumper.
Well, I want to go bowl at that place because I like the liberal rules there. That's really nice. I'd like to get my average up.
Very nice. This place, it is a nice place. But the virus is hurting the teams.
Guess
teams
what?
Teams aren't coming. Yeah, the teams aren't coming back yet.
Guess what, Sarah? Where we are, you can't even bowl yet. Our bowling alleys are still closed.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
But it is. They're going by the rules. It's divided off. You sit far apart.
So
and then when you bowl, every time I got a strike, we'd hit knuckles, you know, we'd hit fists and that, but that was it.
So you feel pretty...
Instead of hugging, we just bump fists, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Now, so you feel safe?
Uh-huh.
And nobody's got, there hasn't been an outbreak or anything from the bowling league?
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. Well, we have been together so long that if any of us are sick... or feel sick, they won't come bowling. They won't hurt. Yeah. They won't come bowling.
Now, how did you celebrate after you got the 300 game? I mean, I imagine everybody went just crazy.
Oh, no, we didn't celebrate. I got the 300, and everybody was happy in that, but there was no celebration.
Well, you didn't pound some beers? You just went home?
No, we didn't.
What kind of 96-year-old are you? Come on. Now, will you get a patch?
But when my son come home, I did have a drink with him to celebrate. Yep.
Oh, nice.
That's nice.
Sure, I had a drink.
Do you get a patch? Do you get a patch for that 300 game?
I got a shirt.
A shirt?
A shirt.
Really? From the ABC?
And then they have a bowling pin, a big bowling pin that has 300 on it.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Well, what a thing for you to do, especially during the coronavirus when some people aren't even able to bowl in Michigan, which our governor, I don't know, I really feel like she's really being a little strict on the bowlers. I don't know what she has against bowling, but she will not open the bowling lanes.
Yeah, but they can be down there. We're divided. They have shields up, and we're divided. And then you don't sit close to one another, you know.
Well, it seems simple to me. I don't know. Our governor just hates bowling, I think. I don't know what else to think. It's crazy. Maybe she bowled 9-tap. She'd like it better.
She probably never bowled before.
Yeah, she's too good for bowling. Well, I'll tell you
Sarah, it said that you also jog. Is that true? You jog every day?
Oh, I jogged. I jogged for 5 or 6 years. I went 3 miles every day.
Wow.
No,
I jogged for four or five years.
Till what age were you jogging at? I mean, the oldest you were at jogging?
Probably in my late 70s.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
How about
honest
that?
To God, I'm not lying, yeah. I used to go with my sons at a Montour Run. That's a jogging place. And we would go there and jog 3 miles. I would jog with my sons when they come home.
And how many minutes could you do 3 miles in?
That, let's see. Nah, I can't tell you that. I don't want to lie, and I just forget how.
No, it's not like
I don't want to lie, but I know I jogged 3 miles.
It's not like you jogged 2 miles, and that guy at the bowling alley said, we'll give you 3 miles.
Yeah, it's not 9-tap jogging.
9-tap jogging.
Anyway, I jogged, and then I worked Meals on Wheels for about 12 or 13 years.
Wow, that's great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
You are energetic, man.
Yeah, and you belong to two card clubs.
Two card clubs. One's a poker club. We play poker. And then one's a 500 club. And I belong to AARP. And our gang goes, we go to the casino, too. Once a month, we go to our ARP.
What now? What do you,
the casino's open?
Casino is open?
During COVID?
Not now. But that's what I did.
Unless you're in Michigan.
Yeah, some of these things you can't, I can't do now. What? I did these later. Yeah.
Guess what? Our casinos are open and our bowling alleys are closed.
Yeah.
Isn't that, but our casinos are open too. You can go.
I'm so confused.
And they only allow so many.
97-year-old.
I see. What's the biggest, do you play blackjack at the casino? You play slots?
I play slots.
You do? Uh-huh. What's the most you've ever won at the casino?
$1,000.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well.
On a dollar machine, I won $1,000, yeah.
How about that? Well,
and our bus was due, and I won this $1,000, and I had to hurry up to collect it. Then they used to pay you in quarters. You know, the quarters would drop down.
Oh, boy.
Down.
What?
Yeah, it's 4,000 quarters.
But now it's so nice. Now they pay you with paper.
Well, I'm amazed at your genes, because you can hear perfectly. You have no problem whatsoever hearing us on three people on a phone.
Yeah.
And you're bowling, and you're jogging.
Dude,
and you're
check
going
out
to the
video. Look how limber this woman is. You're happy.
Yeah.
Running all over the lanes.
Oh, that's nice. Dancing. You guys are nice.
Hey, I just saw you get a strike.
You guys are nice. I'm telling you, it's nice talking to you guys. Yeah.
Okay, you have a great day.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for calling.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Grandma.
You know, I didn't want to tell her that the highlight they show, she's getting a 9.
Not much social distancing in that highlight either. I notice. I feel like she lied to us there.
See that again.
Show the highlight.
I know what the fist bump. Look at that 9. That was not in my pocket.
97. Gonna be 97 in November the 30th.
That was a low pocket shot. She's lucky she didn't have a 5'10 to pick up.
Is this a recreation?
Oh, wait. That time that 5'10 fell down.
She's the first person at Kennedy Lanes in McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, to ever pull the 3-under.
And that's hard. It's hard for a woman to do that, especially seniors. Come on, Arlene.
That was nice that they gave her a shirt, because she will not get an ABC patch for that. I'm just telling you right now. Not for a 9-tap 3-under. No patch.
Well, you're to dance, though.
It's how I feel inside.
I didn't ask for your life story.
I won't give up no matter how old I get.
I think that's pretty cool. That's commendable.
I found actual audio of her going to the casino. I guess this was with the ARP group, I guess.
Hello there. Are you two heading for Las Vegas?
Yeah, Pete. We're going to score.
Well, I hope to score big there myself. I'm mostly going to be doing the slots.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do some sluts, too. They have a lot of sluts in Las Vegas.
Oh, there's so many sluts, we won't know where to begin.
Whoa. Hey, buddy, this chick is pretty cool. She says there's going to be tons of sluts in Las Vegas.
Cool. It's so nice to meet young men who are so well-mannered.
Yeah, I'm going to have money and a big screen TV, and there's going to be sluts everywhere.
That's her.
Next thing you know, he's on top of me in the shed, pumping and sweating.
She rules. I love Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
I mean, no matter how much Drew wanted to discredit her in 300.
Well, you know, they could at least show the highlight of her getting a real strike.
You already beat up on a 6-month-old today. Leave the 96-year-old alone.
I have no regrets about the 6-month-old. That is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for the 6-month-old.
At least
I
you really have a nice
average. That's a big fat thumbs down.
At least you have a nice average age that you're pounding on there.
I'll pound on someone in the middle if I need to.
So ridiculous. She was great.
Yeah, no, she is. God, what amazing. God, she
I guess they're right.
Everything.
Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Is she hanging out with her sons too much? Did you notice that?
Well, the old man's probably gone now.
Her sons are
in their 70s.
Her old man is gone. I know, but she came home to celebrate with her son.
What, does her son live in the basement?
Yeah, like,
should have asked. Wait, we should call back.
Is it Ken Bone's dad?
Yeah, lives with his mom. Not to help her, because he's just Have, he's going through a tough time.
Should we try
she
Ken
made
Bone
it clear
back?
That it was her house, not his.
Should we try Ken Bone back to see if he's ready for debate season?
Should. I think we should. Is he going to be in the crowd?
What was the other ridiculous person we were going to call today? You're like, we should call blank. And I'm like, that's so stupid. We should. Do you remember what that was for?
Wait a second. Did it relate to Gale Sayers?
No, because I was thinking about calling Ditka for Sayers. For no
reason. Yeah, we should call Ditka.
Want to?
Yeah, why not?
Brandon, we pull up their numbers, Ditka and Bone.
If Mike's not there, Diane will give us a eulogy.
Diane? Yeah.
Ditka. Oh, I don't think I have Ditka.
It's a perfect day to call. Well, we don't have Ditka. Joe Marasso does.
Yeah, if anybody, Joey's got it, because I don't.
I have it. Hang on. I'll look for it.
And then here's the Bone Zone right there, you. Mark.
Joe might have erased his number. He got so beat up by Ditka.
He got berated.
He did.
For calling.
I wouldn't want to get yelled at by Mike Ditka.
And then we ended up talking to him anyway, even though Joe had the hour wrong. And Ditka so phoned it in. Oh, my God, did he phone it in.
Yeah, he was doing inventory at his
inventory,
restaurant.
Inventory, yeah.
He wasn't paying any attention to what he was saying.
We'll see who the gutless wonder is.
All right, I got two numbers for Ditka.
I will be shocked if Ditka won't give us 5 minutes on Gale Sayers.
One where he talks about him leaving the country.
Is that my Ditka song?
Yeah, I'm looking. It I told like him I'm having trouble with
it. Seems like you would have one.
He had so many good bowling songs, too.
Ditka.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, is that you?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, it's the Drew and Mike Show calling in Detroit. We've spoken to you a few times before. We're hoping to get a few words on Gale Sayers.
Okay.
Oh, great. Okay, should we just launch right in?
Yeah.
Great. I know you came up in 60 with the Bears, and Gale and Dick Butkus came along in the same draft in 65, and that rookie year just seems like, I don't think he gets enough credit for maybe one of the greatest years of football ever.
Well, you're right. He absolutely was as good a running back as ever played a game. He was fantastic.
Can you tell us about the 6-touchdown game against San Francisco on that wet field?
Well, I don't think San Francisco remembers it. the field was slippery and muddy, and he was unbelievable. I mean, it was like he was playing on a different surface than everybody else. He was cutting on a dime. I mean, he was fantastic.
And as far as the movie Brian song, we're all big fans of the movie. Did you think the movie was accurate? Was he that shy a guy?
Yeah, he really was a shy guy. He really shied away from the limelight. He did.
Had you talked to Gale much in recent years?
Not a whole lot. He really wasn't quite there. You know, he was kind of out of it.
Oh yeah, that's I guess he had dementia, and I didn't know if any of that was from football. But
wonder how he got dementia. I never saw anybody hit him.
Wow.
Iron Mike, Gale Sayers or Walter Payton? You got to pick one.
Oh, no, you can't do that. The Bears had two of the greatest running backs that ever played the game, and Walter and him. They were fantastic.
Is there anyone you think is comparable to Gale Sayers stylistically? Because we were debating that today, and I find it really hard to think of anyone quite like him. But is there anyone who stylistically is even close?
It's hard to say. Gale could do so many things, but the thing with running with the football, he could change in a dime, and he was a hell of a football player, that's all.
Mike, what year did you leave the Bears?
Yeah, good question. I left in 66 was my last year.
66. So you didn't get to be in the movie Brian Song, unfortunately.
No. What do I got?
That was so neat, though, that they had, I don't know, as a coach, if you would like that, but so many of those Bears players were in the movie.
Yeah, and that was nice, too. It was great. Yeah.
It was. And did you cry when you saw the movie?
Oh, Klein, I don't cry, man.
That's the one time it's acceptable. That's the one movie it's acceptable, right?
Did you cry when you heard today?
When I heard a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but he was such a class guy.
Yeah, he was.
You know, as great as he was, he never...
More inventory?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't watch those highlights enough. Every time I see him, I'm just completely blown away. Mike Ditka, I got to tell you, there's one piece of audio of you that I always just love to listen to, and that's when some smartass called you on your radio show, and he said he was calling you a baby or something, and you said, come down to this address, and I'll beat your ass.
It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son.
Did you ever...
Who did I say?
It was a guy that called the radio show, and he said he called you a baby or something. And I mean, he was really a jerk. And you
we'll
called,
see who the gutless wonder is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you called him out and said, you come down at my addresses, and you gave the address for Bears headquarters, and I'll beat your ass. And the crowd went crazy. Do you remember that? Apparently not.
Oh. Okay.
No? Anyway, yeah, it's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, he's doing inventory.
Is the steakhouse doing great? Is it doing good despite the COVID-19 rules and regulations?
What, the restaurant?
Yeah. Is Mike Ditka still going?
No, they're closed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, damn.
I love the steaks, I got to tell you. Anyway, Mike, thanks so much. We appreciate your comments and giving us a little color on Gale Sayers, and wish you the best.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, God bless you.
Bye.
Oh, I want to know, instead of getting mad at the way his team played, why did, during the press conference, why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
My office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air, you tell me what time and when, and I will whip your ass. You got that, big boy? It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son. Let's get your face out in public and let's live where people have to see you every day. And we'll see who the gutless wonder is.
Yeah! Woo! That was awesome.
Wow.
Mike
Ditka
song?
Take that killer instinct to the Senate floor and impose his will upon the other senators. All the nation's problems will be solved and everybody will jump for joy. All because Mike Ditka became Senator of Illinois. You know, he's not officially running, so we're gonna have to write him in. I know if we work together that Mike Ditka can win.
Wow.
Hey. I have no idea why he wrote this song. I bet you, Matt.
Was he running? Was the time I'm running for about 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Was Mike having a moment there?
He sounded like there were other people with him. At one point, I heard one of the other guys go, "Sounds like a kid."
He
sounds like a kid, Drew.
He's also 80.
Was he having an optional interview where he just optionally answers certain questions?
Yeah, like last time we talked to him.
I think it was like a 9-tap interview.
Man, we're on fire, though. We got Sarah Ditka. We got to go for Bone now.
I was going to say, is there anybody else in Chicago? I mean, anybody in Chicago would... I mean, you would be a complete ass to not offer a few words about Gale Sayers.
Obama? Do we have Obama?
Oh, my God. Chicago kicks ass.
Do we have Butkus' number?
I think we've talked to Butkus a few times.
I've got Kirk Heinrich's number. In Chicago, that was the first
one. Maybe we should go for Ken Bone. He probably remembers Gale Sayers. Actually, he's too young.
I'll look for Butkus first.
All right. Hold on. I gotta check something real quick.
Ah! I used to have a Dick Butkus jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, that's kind of fascinating. Is that the only jersey you've owned?
No.
What other jerseys have you owned and why?
Okay, so I had that one. I had a Fran Tarkenton jersey because I thought...
Fran, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
And then who is the asshole dolphin guy, Richie...
Richie Incognito?
I forgot.
I had an Incognito jersey because I thought we could all wear like... we could have a promotion at the radio station where we all were like murderer, killer, or
OJ,
you know,
Aaron
otherwise.
Hernandez.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. I like the that way night. Think. As long as there's no picture on social media, because people would be very mad about that.
True. Yeah. So it was kind of no bad ideas in a brainstorm. But.
I love the fact that you have a Richie Incognito jersey.
And that's crazy. And I bought when I first came to town, I bought a coffee jersey, and then he was like over. the minute off the rack.
Like same thing, Trudy. Yeah.
Like wasn't your Harold Snepps one, right?
77 Paul Coffey jersey.
Yeah.
And then I remember like the first time I had it, he had already been traded away.
Yeah.
For like Shanahan. And I was like, oh no.
I know. I'm just like, well, now what do I do with this? Oh, and I had a Boston Bruins jersey too. And remember when Ray Liotta came to the radio station? That was back when I was just like
stupid. Ray Liotta never played for the Boston Bruins.
No, but he looked at me in this Boston Bruins jersey here in Detroit, and he was like, what are you doing that for? You know, you're kind of like.
This is very exciting. I think I found Dick Butkus' phone number.
Oh, wow.
Or should I say Richard Marvin Butkus' phone number?
Who was the Bruins jersey? Was it like Ray Bourque?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't even know where that is now, so I don't remember.
What?
I just got it because I thought it was cool looking.
I don't think I've ever seen you in any jersey, though.
I know.
Bobby Orr.
So when do you wear these jerseys? I don't know.
Jerseys are tough. You know, you really need to go to a game if you're going to wear like an NHL jersey because they're just naturally bigger.
Yeah, they're you know what?
They're like a nightgown.
Yeah, you can. You can do that. But you know what? They are kind of blousy. And so, you know, if you don't want to look like huge.
I think it'd be cool if you just started wearing basketball jerseys, the tank tops. Oh. Start wearing those everywhere you go.
I do have a couple of those. I have two Wallaces.
Oh, that's right.
I wore the shit out of those in middle school. Yeah. You know?
Actually, Doug was telling me today that he has a Rasheed Wallace ball. I think I might buy it.
Really? Wait. He's selling you a Rasheed Wallace ball?
No, I was just asking him what kind of, you know, because he has all this basketball stuff. He's trying to get rid of it. And I was like, do you have
Maz? Is he in the Maz part of his life? He's got to get rid of all his stuff.
Spiller.
Doug is, you know, how he collects.
He has so much stuff. It's crazy.
So, yeah. So
I think he should just give you that ball. It can't have that much value.
It's in a glass case, and it's signed.
I have a
what a stupid present.
That just hit me. I have a signed Gale Sayers helmet. I should sell it
now. Oh, my God. Yeah, now is the time.
I should sell it right now to Drew. Its value has never been higher than it is right this second.
I have never heard a eulogy longer on the Drew and Mike show.
But think about it, man. That's his boyhood hero.
Yeah.
Love Gale Sayers. That'd be like, I don't know, if the Isman died, I'm going to give him a long eulogy because that was my guy. No? Yeah.
No.
Should we call Joe Isman to eulogize Gale Sayers?
No, he's not into Joe the Isman.
I'm gonna try butt kiss before Drew gets down here because I'm betting some of these numbers don't work, but
okay. If
it does,
uh-oh.
He better get down here fast. I don't know. I feel like I'm playing with fire.
Butkus is 77 years old now.
Trudy, you want to take the lead? Maybe he'll respond more to a female.
Oh, okay. Do I ask for Dick?
Mr. Butkus.
You dick!
Butkinen.
Sorry.
Either way, we're going to tell Drew we just had a great interview with Butkus.
It's going to take a little while to get the phone. Oh, maybe he's really athletic at 77.
Let's go live upstairs to see what Drew's doing right now.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Dick Butkus.
3.
Ah.
Balls.
That sounds like a good number, though.
Drew, you won't believe this great interview we just had with Dick Butkus. I just hung up.
Seriously?
It's great.
Yeah.
Did he give some insight?
It was a little awkward. Yeah. He was crying a lot.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Pussy. No. I think that first number was his.
I feel like there's a Chicago number.
Pussy.
Spacing on. Or maybe I'm spacing.
Well, I mean, are you thinking of Skin?
Mr. Skin.
Out of the gate.
No.
What?
Is this Butkus?
This sounds like a Butkus ring.
That's a weird phone ring.
What?
Wow.
Maybe
I just remember in football when I first started playing just as a kid, it was like if you had number 40, you had it all. That was all you needed was that jersey.
Really?
Kristen Dean,
make
good.
You run faster, catch balls better.
You just look cooler because it was Gale Sayers' number. Or 51, Butkus, that one bad. Number 107 was not a great number to have in Little League.
Was he your favorite football player growing up?
Yeah, Sayers was. I mean, I was just so young, though. Peyton came along a few years later, and then it was like I was off to the races with Peyton.
Sweetness was so good.
He was. And he played so hard.
He's no Earl Campbell, though.
What do you mean he's no Earl Campbell?
I prefer Earl.
Walter, when Walter was fast, when he first came up, oh, man, he was tough.
Yeah, but Earl, remember the best football highlight, bar none, all time, Earl Campbell's jersey getting ripped off.
That was pretty good, I got to say.
Have you ever seen that, Brandon, your young whippersnapper?
I don't know if I have. Is it in black and white?
Earl Campbell?
There's a great highlight of Walter bouncing off Kansas City Chiefs.
Of who?
Walter Payton, just bouncing off Chiefs. I mean, they just can't bring him down.
Oh, that's Butkus's fax line.
And Walter's stiff arm was pretty incredible.
You can try bone. Could you just use that, you know, like in your day-to-day, just stiff arm? Like,
you know, Trudy, that's a great idea because there are a lot of people who need to be stiff arm. No doubt.
It's true.
It's so cool. It's such a great move.
Oh, here's the Earl Campbell run. Make space in your pants, Brandon, because it's so cool. Oh, why can't you can't see it? Never mind. Huh. Let's see. Is there any audio?
Oh, man. I'll Google it.
Great audio. Oh, stiff arm out of the Rams. There he goes, Pardo's jersey. That is so effing cool.
Too bad it was like a 3-yard run.
Oh, it was more than a 3-yard run.
About 11, maybe.
Oh, come on.
I'm just spoiled watching all these 70-yard runs by Sayers all day.
At least it's in color.
Sayers is in color.
Man, I'm just going to sit and get hard watching Earl run. Look how fucking cool he is.
Hey, by the way, this is a really, okay, maybe radio for one person at the most. When I saw that Gale Sayers was the MVP in the Pro Bowl, and I remember being excited for the Pro Bowl. I mean, as a kid, you don't know any better.
Yeah.
That nobody cares.
Right.
Although they did care more then because the AFC and the NFC were sort of rivals. Anyway, so he's MVP in three Pro Bowls. So I Googled Gale Sayers Pro Bowl highlights. There are no Pro Bowl highlights anywhere. Does nobody post Pro Bowl highlights?
Damn it. You mean currently or from back
then?
Well,
from Gale Sayers or anybody in the back in the day or like highlights of the 67 Pro Bowl.
They got to be out there.
I swear to God, it seemed like they were hard to find. It was hard to find stats.
They'd probably rather post a week two of Cincinnati and Kansas City.
You're right.
That has more weight on anything. Oh, incoming call. Oh, it's from Dick Butkus. Remember, I'm not joking.
Oh, my God. Hello?
Hey, 51.
Hello?
Dick?
Hello?
Is that Dick? Huh? Oh, is that Dick? Was that Dick? It sounded like Dick was calling back. He wanted to complete the interview. He wanted to finish the questions that he spaced out on.
Should I call him back?
Ditka? No, don't call Ditka back.
No, that number that just called.
Yeah, Butkus.
It's not
Butkus? Butkus.
Is it Butkus?
Butkus called back, not Ditka.
So. Do we really have a Butkus number?
Yeah.
God, if only Sayers could die every day.
Drew. Hello?
Don't say that.
I'm here at Ring.
Oh, Drew and Marcus. Oh.
Oh, I think he was listening that whole time. And you said if only Sayers could die every day.
Phone never rang.
I just expect him to come busting through the door and tackle
him. He would
that
kick
comment.
Our ass. He would absolutely kick our ass.
Even at age 100, however old he is.
Dick Butkus highlights are also pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
There's one where he intercepts the ball and there's a receiver right near him and the guy kind of stops like, I'm going to get you, Butkus. And Butkus just waves the ball in his face and takes off.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is the best football.
It's pretty cool.
Why don't people do that now?
He's got an impressive IMDb, too. You know, he's got Any Given Sunday. He's got The Last Boy Scout. He was in many episodes of MacGyver. We're talking Necessary Roughness, Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Wait,
fuck yeah.
Butkus
and Dads.
Butkus is in Necessary Roughness.
Growing Pains, Matlock, Night Court.
Was he trying to get an Alex Karras career going in the 80s?
Looks like he was in Murder, She Wrote, Johnny Dangerously.
Do they have Dick Butkus on halftime of the Rose Bowl? I think it was 84, 85 with Illinois against, was it USC? He was so bummed. He was not at halftime. He was so wasted.
Really?
I asked him about it. When we talked to him, I asked him about it. He said, oh, yeah, we were doing some tailgating before the game, and I wasn't expecting to be asked to be on at halftime. And the guy is, I was just being nice. He was just hammered.
Namath hammered or just regular hammered?
I think he handles his liquor better than Namath. I think he was just as hammered, but But he's Butkus. He's tougher.
How is what Joe Namath did not handling his liquor? I thought that was very entertaining, no matter what he says.
I think it was kind of like alcohol was truth serum in his case.
Yeah!
He wanted to kiss her. That was the truth.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Huge compliment.
The entire nation.
What if we found out that after the game, Namath just nailed her? Just nailed her!
You.
And then she stalked him for the next year. She wanted to retap so bad. How cool would that be?
I'm trying to find my favorite Dick Butkus highlight, which was when he opened up the XFL. Do you remember that?
What did he do?
He was on the field getting the crowd pumped up for the very, I think it was the very first XFL game.
How grim. I mean, how sad that Dick Butkus would even need the money to do that.
I remember the way the game used to be played.
Oh, that was a terrible quality. I had to stop it early.
Oh,
that's
that was
right
the
there.
Promo, right? Yeah, I'm looking for it. Hang on.
Here's another one.
You want to play real football? My kind of football? Raw survival in the mud and snow. No domes, no fair catches, no phony grass. It's harsh, it's bruising, so it's beautiful. Think you're tough enough to play my kind of football? Then come and get it.
Introducing the official game ball of the XFL from Spalding. The toughest football ever.
So Butkus' official title is Director of Competition, I believe, in the XFL. That's Ventura yelling into a microphone.
What is the Director of Competition do?
He introduces the very first XFL game ever.
To help us kick off this historic night, let's go down to the field with
Certainly
Mike
was historic.
Adamley. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the personification of the XFL.
Oh.
He is the league's director of competition. He is Hall of Famer Dick Butkus.
And Dick Butt in his name.
The Las Vegas Outlaw fans love him.
Possibly the biggest applause in XFL history.
You know, in the past, all football games get started with a coin toss. No way, Jose.
We don't
Here
go for that bullshit.
NFL, we're going to compete for the right choose who possesses the ball at the start of the game.
With a dick measuring contest.
One ball. Whoever possesses the ball gets his choice, not only for the start of the game, but also for overtime, should that be necessary. Good luck, guys.
And once again, to win the scramble, you must have.
I really love how he's taking his job as director of competition very intensely.
You know, he
number 21, safety, pathetic, Donnie but... Caldwell.
Donnie Caldwell, baby.
Donnie Caldwell,
and they're booing
baby.
Him like they know who he is.
For the Las Vegas Outlaws, number 28, safety, Jamel Williams.
Who?
Jamel Williams, what are you talking about?
Let's go to head referee, Randy.
They cheer for the jerseys.
Okay, once again, guys, it's going to be ready.
Never heard of a Max.
And a whistle. Don't jump and go for the ball. Not each other.
Doesn't somebody get injured doing this?
Yes.
Fed.
Couple of safeties going to scramble for the right to possession. The hometown hero is on it, but the ball's still alive. Jamel Williams jumps on it. And the hometown guys have right to kick and receive. We haven't even started yet, Body, and the place is already going nuts.
Well, I mean,
personification of the XFL.
Technically on our Gale Sayers obit. So, do you want to just roll with the Cliff Notes now to put it all together?
Sure. I think I can't get enough perspective on this obituary.
This is a story about two men, Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. One was a Hall of Fame running back. The other sucked ass. One was black. The other was white. One was shy as a 3-year-old. The other thought he was a real jokester, but he really wasn't that funny. It's a story about how they came to know each other, fight each other, and help each other. And somehow this stupid story's made millions of men bawl their eyes out.
Gale arrives late for training camp.
Hey, Sayers.
Uh-huh.
I'm Brian Piccolo. I met you at the All-America game. I said, I'm Brian Piccolo. We're both playing for the Bears. And you said, uh-huh. Whenever I'm feeling low, I think of that time you...
You're hilarious. Look, I gotta check in his... Where's that motherfucking old man, Hallis?
Hallis Hall, right there. What a coincidence. George Hallis' office
is... Yeah, you're the road pick, but I gotta check in his...
Sayers.
Yeah?
He's a little deaf in his left ear. Stay on his right side, okay?
Thank you, my brother.
10 minutes later, Gale meets with Hallis.
So how's that leg, Sayers?
Yeah, right here, sir. Leg is fine, old man.
Good, good. We're using Bax as receivers this year. How are... Sayers?
Yeah, right here.
Look, kid, I know you got moves and stuff. You don't have to show them off here.
Just trying to stay on the side of your good ear and
My good ear and
Hey, Brian Piccolo told me you can't hear and you... Damn!
Piccolo!
Later at a team meeting.
All right, listen up. We're talking about fines. You lose your playbook, that's $1,000.
Hey, Sayers, lose your playbook a second time. They cut off your foot and give it to the defense.
Mr. Sayers, we were just talking about the fine for talking during a team meeting. It's 25 big ones, and it's just been laid on you, motherfucker. Can you dig that? Well, it might only be fair if Mr. Piccolo would sing us a fight song.
Yeah, don't let him get to your magic.
Here's to wait for us! You suck.
Sit down, Pick.
The old mashed potatoes trick. Good one, Sayers.
Meanwhile, back at practice.
All right, let's go. Light up, 40-yard dash. Sayers, Piccolo.
My plan is working.
What plan?
Getting you overconfident.
Sayers, 4.2. Piccolo, 6.6.
Later that day.
What is it, Coach Harris?
Gale, as comfortable as we are with racism, it is 1965. That King Jr. guy is making a lot of noise, so we're going to make some changes.
What, you want me to play flanker?
No, Gale. We're going to room some guys by position. You'll be with Brian Piccolo.
Oh, is that all?
Gale!
Pick, did you hear? You and me are roomies.
Word!
If they decide we're rooming together, it means you made the team.
Now that is what I call fat. Let's call our baby mamas with a 411.
You got it, brother.
And the rookie Sayers in the backfield can cat it back to pass. Hit Sayers, he jukes left, breaks a tackle, and another 50, 45, 40.
And while Sayers heads for the end zone, his white roommate Brian Piccolo is on the bench holding his dick nowhere near the field.
Touchdown, Sayers!
After the game...
Hey, Gale, that was quite a performance.
Good blocking, that's all.
Last night you said our line was like 7 blocks of silly putty.
Good one. You must be Gale's white roommate. What's it like sharing a space with a black person?
Yeah, as long as he doesn't use my afro comb or lift my Benjamins, everything is fine.
3 years of Rookie of the Year award, 3 Pro Bowls, and many NFL records later...
Gale Sayers back in the huddle, his white roommate Piccolo holding court on the Bears sideline.
Yeah, look like he's joking around. Nobody's laughing, though.
Strange. Sweep left, Sayers hit on the knee by Kermit Alexander.
That knee is totaled.
Piccolo gives Sayers a fanny pat as he enters the game. Maybe the first white-on-black butt pat I've ever seen.
Never seen it.
Hand off to Piccolo, he breaks a tackle. He's got some running room. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Brown Piccolo. What an effort.
Piccolo's run as the number one running back doesn't last long. 6 months later, Sayers is reinstalled as a starting halfback.
Hey, congrats, Gale. Nice rehab. Starting halfback. And we've got a hell of a rookie to back you up.
Yeah, I guess homie's back to chilling on the bench, huh?
Not so, Piccolo. You're my starting fullback.
Pick, you and me, starting backfield.
Off the hook, motherfucker. All right, knuckleheads, weigh in. Kurek, 203. Gordon, 190. Piccolo, 145, down another 5 pounds. Gee, Sayers, get your buddy to load up on the pasta.
Yeah, I just need to throw down some 40s.
1 month later...
Gale, you know we sent Brian over some tests.
Give it to me straight, Coach Harris. What kind of shit are they finding?
Brian Piccolo has cancer. We're just about to inform your teammates.
I can handle that bullshit. Check this out, fellas. Listen up. Every week we hand out a game ball to the outstanding player. We're changing that shit today. Because we just got word that Brian Piccolo is very sick. We should dedicate ourselves to give maximum effort to win the game. We'll sign the ball for Pick, and we'll take it up to the hospital. My God!
1 day later in the hospital...
Magic, when you dedicate a game to somebody, you gotta make your opponent recognize. That was whack. Pat O'Brien never said, let's f*** some shit up for the Gipper.
Come on, Pick. Easier said than done. I gave my motherfucking best.
Hey, think of the street cred this scar is gonna give me.
I'm gonna vomit.
Pick!
1 month later, Gale Sayers is attending an awards banquet.
And the winner of the Most Courageous Player Award, Gale Sayers!
Yay! Here you go, Gale.
Thank you! You flatter me with this award and all that but Brad Piccolo shows courage 24 hours a day. This award is mine tonight, but it's his tomorrow. And then if things keep going downhill, maybe mine again. I love Brian Piccolo, and I want you to love him, too. And pray for him and
The next day, back at the hospital, things are getting grim.
Hey, Magic.
How you doing, Pick?
Heard about the banquet.
You giving me the bling? You're here, I'd kiss you.
I'm not here.
Thanks for the pint of blood you gave me. That explains it.
What?
I'm craving chitlins all day.
That's not funny. You can't see like that, Pick. It's politically incorrect.
That was written in 1970. I can get up in your grill and call you a n***.
Come on, Pick.
Remember when?
No, you just got sick, Pick.
It's Cliff Notes magic.
Oh, jeez.
Remember when you caught me with those mashed potatoes?
You deserved it.
Let's see you, magic.
See you, Pick.
Brian Piccolo died of cancer at 26. He left a wife, three daughters, many bad punchlines, and lots of friends who miss him and think of him often. But they don't think of how he died. They think of how he lived. How he did live.
All right. Today, the RBG news was... RBG.
RBG.
It's like there's an RBG channel now.
WRBG.
By the way, somebody sent me something that when you are in state that the coffin isn't open.
In repose? Yeah, I guess they don't
but
have it.
Ernie open. Was open because people took pictures of fucking Ernie in his casket. Why was Ernie's casket open?
That's really.
I guess he wasn't insane.
Wait, are you sure it was open and they weren't just taking a picture with the...
Because assholes were taking pictures. They were.
Just taking a picture with the casket?
Taking a picture of Ernie. Crashed.
Yikes.
I know. But, you know, okay, let me go back to this one.
By the way, I love how you characterized her as a rabble-rouser for dying yesterday.
Yeah, causing shit once again. Yeah. Ernie's casket was open, but he wasn't lying in state. But do you suppose that Ernie, they said, hey, Ernie, you're cooked. You're going to go down any day now. We want to put your open casket down at the ballpark. Is that cool?
Well, if that's what the fans want, then...
That just seems very so agreeable. Bizarre, doesn't it? I mean, I didn't go, but maybe somebody will correct me if the casket wasn't open. I just remember that people were pissed because some asshole took a picture.
Well, you know, they
said, probably find it online.
Please, no pictures.
And then was somebody else? Oh, Gordy Howe? Was that just a... When Gordy died?
Yeah, I remember
that. At Joe Louis Arena.
Here's a New York Times story about the
But if somebody took a picture of Gordy Howe in his casket, he would punch them out.
From death.
Yeah.
And if the casket's closed, then you don't even know RBG is in there.
No, you're right. Open
so
casket.
So you're going to see a casket.
Is. There's a picture of him. Open casket.
What?
Yeah, thanks to the Associated Press. He looks great. No, where'd it go?
What was that?
Oh. Get out of here, stupid ad.
See? Is that- Fuck!
What?
Oh, my God!
It looks great. Oh. No?
Trudy, don't you want to see Ernie dead?
Okay.
I think he looks wonderful.
That's an Associated Press photo?
He looks at peace. My favorite part is that you can read daiquiris right behind him from the daiquiri stand at Comerica.
Oh, Jesus.
Isn't that just weird?
Yeah.
Well, maybe Ernie wanted it that way.
I don't know. I don't think they asked Ernie. Or Lulu.
It was a consummate showman.
I miss Ernie.
Maybe somebody will help me out on the Gordie Howe thing. I don't.
You are long gone.
I just remember Gordie Howe. There was a giant crowd at the Joe. People were waiting for hours.
Yeah.
Hey,
check out Gordie.
Did you happen to see there's blowback to the Rolling Stone Greatest Albums?
I hope so.
No, it's not the way you want it to be.
Oh, come on! What is there blowback for?
Some guy spiral curse. Democracy. I don't know. It's still too much Beatles, Stones, Bowie, Springsteen, Dylan. Too much rock. It's more of a best of rock and some other stuff.
It's Rolling Stone magazine.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Rolling Stone magazine is named after the Rolling Stones.
Somebody else writes.
I think there's too much other crap. It ought to be all rock.
Rolling Stone updated its top 500 albums of all time list, so it's no longer just white dudes.
Wait. Are they suggesting there's too many white dudes in there?
Were. No, not anymore. That there were.
Oh, that there were.
Yeah, so that it's not all white dudes.
The country's so divided, they should have made a 500 list of rock and a 500 list of rap and R&B.
Well, how do you compare a Kanye West album to a Bruce Springsteen album or a Beatles album?
Yeah.
I just honestly thought that the...
How do you compare the Far Side to Joni Mitchell? You know, it's ridiculous.
Trudy, Joni Mitchell blew three? Number three?
Three?
Number three. Yeah, the White Album, 29. Sgt. Pepper's, 24.
I'm not a big Joni Mitchell fan, so...
I thought all chicks loved Joni Mitchell. I
guess, I'm not.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Check your misogyny, bro.
But no, not at three. Hell no.
Which album?
Blue.
Blue.
Yeah, Court and Spark was way up there, too.
That was a cool name for an album.
It was. Okay, Marvin Gaye.
Blue, you're my boy!
I don't know any of the songs on Blue.
Are they, some other complaint was that it didn't have enough women.
Bullshit! There's it still, had tons there's, of women!
They're still grossly undervaluing women.
Okay, I hate to be the asshole, but record companies will sign whoever will sell records. They don't care.
Yeah,
they
that's
really
pretty much
don't.
Their deal. Yeah.
And unfortunately, men were selling a lot more records for a long, long time. And I don't know how it is now. It seems like there's a lot of women selling a lot of records. Yeah. I mean, the people, okay, for example, I'm just trying to think of the women that really sell our records. Britney Spears. Taylor Swift.
15 years ago. Yeah, Taylor Swift. Yeah, now Billie Eilish.
Britney Spears has like two of the probably the top 50 selling records of all time, which is embarrassing to all of us.
I can't concentrate because of her voice.
I guess this was the biggest hit on the album.
I,
wait, this is track four. It sounds
is
a
that
lot like
Appalachian Dulcimer.
Listen, here's the beginning of track one. Here's the beginning of track four. Sounds exactly the same.
She didn't have to try. All the guys wanted her anyway.
I just want to see if the other songs start with like that. Do you know this song, Carrie?
He's pushing that guitar.
I don't.
The wind is in Vermont.
Ugh.
Because last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard.
Why do you sing that way?
But it's really not my home. My fingernails are filthy. I've got beach tar on my feet.
Oh, she's gross, too.
And I miss my clean white linen.
By the way, what's going on, number one, Marvin Gaye? I love Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
But number one?
You know why?
You listen to it, Trudy.
What's going on is...
That's a great
no,
song.
No, the reason why they picked that, though,
because
is
it's about the environment.
It's because of now, yeah. That's
please.
Why they put that there. It's a
really?
Politically motivated pick.
That's what I thought the top 100 were the what should be the top 100 albums, not the best 100 albums or the best selling 100 albums or a combination of both.
Well, it is. You just don't like the answer.
No, there were not. Those were not the top 100 selling albums.
Well,
I guarantee
according
you.
To the 300 people they asked.
No, not top selling. That was those are the best.
No, I know, but it's the best albums according to the people they talked to. They didn't ask us, though.
They should maybe broaden their list of people they're asking. Because I swear, I just thought there were a lot of things in that thing that made me scratch my head. And there always are on those lists. That's why lists are fun.
Sure.
And this is a good album.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now.
Let's Get It On's a great album, too. Isn't Got to Give It Up on that? I believe that's a great song. I love that song. From the north and south and east.
Oh, mercy, mercy me.
Gay. Fucking shit.
All right, let me check out sales of, which really doesn't matter that much. It was a popular album, I'm sure.
It seems like this list is more like what's been the most influential for those 300 people they asked.
Yeah.
Not what the...
True, because the Velvet Underground are always way up there, and they didn't sell any records.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop didn't sell records. They were influential, both of them were, but...
To who?
I don't... Oh, I'm sure someone will object to this, but Patti Smith, Horses, I know it's a popular album, but is it better than the White Album? Really? Really? I don't think so.
Godfrey Gay.
Not to mention it was ahead of every Pink Floyd album. It was ahead of every Beatle album except for Revolver and Abbey Road. It was ahead of every Stones album except for Exile on Main Street. Do you reach for Patti Smith Horses as often as you reach for
I tried to dig that album, but I really just ended up playing that one song.
Oh, yeah. Patty's so nice.
The night.
Come on, Patty. Trudy,
Springsteen wrote that song.
I know.
And it's her biggest hit.
I know.
And name one other song. by Patti Smith.
Can't.
I don't think I can either. I know she covered Gimme Shelter.
She did?
She did.
Whoa.
I mean, not
to demean her as an artist. I thought she was great. She loved Mapplethorpe.
I know. It's the Mapplethorpe connection, just because she's with a guy that had piss on Christ, that makes her that important, because she was good friends with him.
Yeah, I guess. That was super artsy.
It was artsy. I read that book about her and Mapplethorpe's friendship.
Yeah.
Kind of strange.
And it's kind of weird.
Okay, let's see. I'm just going to see how many streams she gets for her.
Who the hell is Mapplethorpe?
Oh, we've talked about him. Isn't it Robert Mapplethorpe?
Do you not want to bring that up again?
Just type in his name and then hit the image gallery on Google. Let's see what you
without
think,
Brandon. That's
what I have been
room.
Doing, and I was just curious.
Without Maddie in the room.
I see a gimp.
Yeah, I think I've told that story before. My brother was talking about at the bookstore in Ann Arbor. He's like, go down that one aisle and open that Mapplethorpe book to a certain page. And it was a picture of a guy with his pinky inside his urethra.
Sweet.
Oh, God, your brother was a provocateur.
I know.
I remember he had
first, I love it.
One of the museums in Chicago had the piss on Christ Mapplethorpe.
That was Mapplethorpe? I thought that
Isn't that Mapplethorpe?
Oh, I believe you. I just thought it was, I don't know.
Anyway, I believe
Piss Christ.
I think the mayor at the time was Mayor Washington, Harold Washington, who allegedly was died in women's underwear. I don't know if it's true or not. People used to say that.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But Harold Washington and his guys went in and actually removed it.
Oh.
Really?
So they might have got Mapplethorpe's wee-wee on them.
It was Andreas Serrano.
Okay, sorry.
And maybe that's why I like wearing women's. Or did he die?
Mapplethorpe liked it, though. I guarantee Mapplethorpe liked it.
Ugh, of course.
My question about Harold Washington, did he die in wearing the underwear or just in a pair of, like, granny panties, like, his head caught?
I don't know. I think maybe there was a pretty strong rumor that he liked dressing up in women's clothes, maybe that was just a...
Sure.
And I don't have a problem with it.
No.
Sure, you look great.
Did you find any Mapplethorpe pictures you like there, Brandon?
I've been scrolling through, and it's pretty...
Any catch your eye?
There's just a lot of gimps. That's what I see. I'm seeing Pulp Fiction.
Type in urethra. Aretha.
I don't understand.
I'm not going to look at that one.
Come on. If I had to see it, you have to see it.
Did many people really like his art? Because I personally, I don't know anyone who's ever said, God, have you seen Mapplethorpe's art? It's the greatest thing ever.
No.
What is it?
And he has eight.
What is he supposed to empower or inspire you to do? Or
well, it makes you examine the human body in all its muscular form.
Then he catches HIV.
He did die of AIDS, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mapplethorpe. Yeah. I mean, there's very few people that are gayer than he was.
Yeah, you know, he
That's
was
fine.
Very
I'm
gay.
Just saying. He was very, very. No. Was
I mean,
very
if you're
going to
be gay, you might as well be gay as hell. Why not?
What? What does that mean? Like, have a bunch of penises at one time?
Hey, with guys, you know how it is with
That's
guys.
True. Yeah, we do weeks so we can get excessive.
By the way, I sent someone the picture of Gacy with Jason.
With guys.
Oh, yeah.
And this person immediately noted that Jason was wearing a Cosby sweater for his meeting.
Yes.
See how weird is that?
That's awesome. That's
it great. Looks really weird.
I know. It looks very awkward because Gacy's either about to already has passed along that that pair of underwear to Jason.
Oh, God.
He had like a pair of Speedo undies. And he went, you're probably going to want these Speedo undies. We've been talking for a long time. I know you're into me. You know how it is with guys.
And here's Jason with the Night Stalker.
Oh, wow.
Wait, is that Jay? That's not Jason, is it?
Yeah, it is on the right.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Does the Night Stalker think he's hot?
Oh, yeah.
I think he does.
Because of his high cheekbones?
I'm trying to think of who he looks like somebody. I want to say it's like Tommy Lee or somebody. Not Tommy Lee, though.
Tommy Lee?
I mean, some rock star. Doesn't like
Robert Trujillo from Metallica, the bassist, if he did his hair differently.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
He looks like
let me
what
see.
What killer is I that?
I think he kind of looks like Elliot
the Zodiac
Rodger,
killer.
A Zodiac killer we've never seen.
We've never seen him. Or Green River? Which one? Richard Ramirez. That's who he looks like.
That's him.
That's him.
You didn't know Lou Diamond Phillips?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Lou Diamond Phillips,
it is. Yes.
Oh, shit.
It's a doppelganger. They got to be twins.
He looks just like him. Why is Moss pumping out his chest there?
I think he's just chubbier in that photo.
I think they both think they're hot. Honestly.
Look at Gacy with Moss in that other picture. Gacy doesn't get on, Gacy, your knees,
you know, get on it. If Gacy was alive now, can't you just see him doing appearances and taking selfie after selfie after selfie with
selling
people?
His art? Selling his clown?
Oh, yeah, sure. His art was deemed valuable.
Well, because he murdered a bunch of people.
Same thing with Bundy. Bundy would have one of the biggest social media pages possibly ever.
And a Volkswagen ad.
He's just charismatic.
Could you imagine if he started tweeting John Wayne Gacy? Hey, why don't we start a Twitter for John Wayne Gacy?
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know how it is. What, guys?
Well, it's football season. He loved football.
And then he started
love football.
Coming on to me.
Hey, we haven't played Monday Night Football yet. Yeah, he was a Bears
fan.
Sure
we have. Yeah, we played it a couple times.
Did we play? But we just had the first Monday Night Football. Did we play it? We didn't play it. No. That was an oversight.
That's right. He is a Bears fan. Should we call Mike Ditka for comment on John Wayne Gacy?
John Gacy at, you know how it is with guys.
We never met each other. He was probably the best serial killer I've ever seen.
Manson had a fine living. Too.
Yeah, Manson did.
And popular culture following.
My God, could you imagine Manson had a Twitter? Yikes.
Oh, God. Wait, Manson didn't die that long ago. Why didn't he have Twitter? Wasn't he lying for
prison?
Twitter?
Yeah, he's locked up.
As if that ever stopped anybody.
Or anybody can start one from prison. You might be able to run it, but I don't know if you can start it.
Did you know Herman Cain, his Twitter's still active, even though he's been dead. He keeps tweeting.
Is it ghost Herman
Someone's Cain? Tweeting on his behalf?
Yeah, and it's very anti-mask. Which is weird because that quite possibly could have saved his life if he wore a mask.
Oh,
God.
Well.
Somebody's being really ironic, right?
What, his family? I don't know. I think they really believe it.
Huh. Hey, did you... Boy, I know this is veering off of serial killers, but did you see your buddy Thom got married from Radiohead?
Oh, I did. Yeah,
oh, Thom Yorke got married.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, so
some people are saying
I'm gonna bet that she's not hot.
Some people are saying he could have done better. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, she is hot.
And look at his face in that picture. He's just like blah.
I know. He is as shallow as anyone else. He is no deeper.
So
he thinks
deep.
He's so deep. He's and then he just so goes deep. For the hottest, youngest chick he can find.
Yeah, but in this picture, he acts like, whatever.
Which one? Is it this one where they're laying together?
Chicks are with me all the time.
People magazine.
Ugh.
This one.
Oh, I was talking about...
Okay, how old is she?
Look at how artsy this one is.
Trudy, we need more information on this bride.
Thom is she's Italian. 51.
Yeah, and she's 36. So what? What of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's...
That's the youngest he could get away with and still act like he's so deep.
she's Italian, and she's so beautiful, and he is, by contrast...
What?
So homely.
He's a very beautiful man.
He looks rough there.
I don't know. He looks like he stinks more than Lennon, if you ask me.
Maybe he does.
If I mean, his hair is definitely 10 times greasier than John Lennon's ever was.
Do you think he just drones on around her, too? Like, just...
Mark, if you think you were to meet Thom, do you think he would probably... Would he talk to you about being a vegetarian first or having a man bun? Which one would it be?
Is he a vegetarian? Probably is. I don't know.
I just look at him and
I'm assuming
so. If
he isn't, he will be.
No, man. I'd probably talk about all his great work.
Okay. Hey, I'm dying to know. I was starting to go down this path a few minutes ago, and I kind of spaced out. There's two people... that are being suggested will be the Supreme Court nominee, this Amy Coney Barrett, the one with seven kids, very anti-abortion.
It's in a cult!
and Barbara Lagoa, the Cuban-American, the first Hispanic on the Florida Supreme Court. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, he's got to pick the Florida girl because she's Cuban-American and she's in Florida. And so, you know, he... hits a lot of boxes there.
She's less socially conservative as Amy ACB.
But I'm just wondering, I would expect by now we would be hearing crazy stuff about these two people, but I haven't really read anything.
Well, maybe they're saving it to when they announce it.
Maybe.
I'm serious, because it would
be better
ratings.
If you give it up now,
ratings.
Then he'll pick the one that doesn't have the crazy stuff.
What's weird about it is, though, say that he's looking at, who's the one, the Cuban one? What's her name, Lagoa?
Lagoa, Barbara Lagoa.
He's looking at her, A, from being from Florida, this swing state, which he'll easily win Florida, but also the fact that she's Hispanic. Someone's supposed to get him a Hispanic vote.
Yeah, he wants to do it just because.
Is this why we're choosing
Supreme Court? He's doing well with the Hispanics and Latin Americans, I think, isn't he?
But also because he doesn't want anybody else to be able to shit talk her, because then they'll be shit talking.
That's right.
Hispanics.
That's right. They'll be, they will be politically incorrect.
Yeah. That's a good reason to get a Supreme Court justice.
Why does anyone do anything to get elected?
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone really do anything that isn't about getting elected?
No.
If they are, I'm not aware of it.
No, it's the name of the game. Yep.
But they had a new Washington Post ABC poll that he leads Biden 51-47 in Florida, which is really within the margin of error, pretty much. But was that race? It's been tied or close, hasn't it been, pretty much?
Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he leads Arizona 49-48. And Cindy Biden just endorsed, Cindy McCain endorsed Biden today.
Yeah.
She joined Team Biden. And she encouraged suburban women to join her because suburban women are so much like Cindy McCain.
Do you remember this many people from one party?
No, never. Never, ever.
Does that not speak volumes?
It does, but what happened to Mitt and his underwear?
Oh, well.
It's like
he did reverse.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I honestly, this whole thing is so funny because the hypocrisy is so incredible. So I'm reading about it today.
No,
and
one,
honestly,
no one cares about that. No one cares about, you
know,
No, they don't.
But honestly, because this just happened in 2015, everyone is saying the opposite of what they said in 2015.
Yeah.
So I'm reading about it today, and they have all the quotes, like they have the Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and so on and so forth down the line. And then they get to Trump, and they kind of implied that Trump didn't say that much because I'm not sure why. What did Trump say in 2015 or 2016, early 2016? Did he even discuss it?
You know what? That's a good question.
He's a candidate then. Yeah. I mean, I think he's sort of, this is like the one thing that he maybe doesn't have to lie that much about.
Yeah.
So it gets to Biden, and Biden.
No, the anger really shouldn't be at him. If people are angry about it, it should really be at
Mitch McConnell.
The Senate, yeah.
So Joe Biden today said that the rush to replace Justice Ginsburg is a gigantic mistake and an abuse of power. And then they have him quoted in 2016 saying that not voting on Merrick Garland in an election year was frankly ridiculous and the rule doesn't exist. Then they go on to say that he was ripped. Actually, Biden was a problem in 2016 because in 1992 he staunchly opposed having confirmation hearings in an election year. But he explained that by saying actually in 1992 he called it the Biden rule. He explained it in 2016 by saying, well, Clarence Thomas was an extreme candidate, and that his principal argument at the time was focused on George Bush for not consulting the Judiciary Committee, which Biden led. So everybody's always got a reason. There's always, I flip-flopped twice, but there's a reason. So,
yeah, this time the reason is, well, the last time the Senate didn't, the Democrats didn't have the Senate, when this time the Republicans had the Senate with the Republican president. So yes,
it's hard for anyone to really stand on too much principle here. So, I don't know. When is he going to decide who it is, as he said?
Saturday, 5 o'clock.
Oh, Saturday, 5 o'clock. They've actually announced it?
Yeah,
the time?
He announced it, yeah. I think it was in the same rally when he said this. Oh, shit, wait. I got too much stuff playing. Hang on. Oh, balls.
He was singing.
Yeah, he was.
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, it's his favorite album.
Well, cool.
You blew it!
I'll be honest. He feels good about the mask, and that's okay. You know what? Whatever makes you feel good. He feels good. I mean, honestly, what the hell did he spend all that money on the plastic surgery if he's going to cover it up with a mask?
Oh, my God.
A whole deal.
I mean, he really did set up that joke really well.
I'm surprised.
He did. He has a good setup and delivery. It's just, he's the president.
I'm surprised that honestly hasn't been said more because no one's really said anything about it, but he looks a lot younger, doesn't he?
Who, Biden?
Yeah.
Well, it's the sunglasses.
It was good plastic surgery.
No, it's good. He looks good.
Yeah.
So, but it's usually, if it's noticeable, It's not something people will be quiet about.
Mm. I forgot about it, actually, until you just brought it up.
He had another good one from this rally. Let me see if I can find it. Do you know? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I think I do.
I think I know what it is. I think I should have something
like
queued up.
Cans of soup. They have like 25 cans of tuna. They get caught. I'm bringing this home to my family. How dare you stop me? No, no, no. They use it as ammunition. It's terrible.
I want the full one where he's talking about what a great weapon a tuna can is.
I like them all.
Oh, because you can whip it?
Bumble yeah. Away a tuna. Bumble away a tuna. Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee tuna. Bumblebee tuna.
These people from CNN and other places, these are friendly protests. It's a lovely thing to say as he's getting rocks and cans of tuna fish. They go out and buy tuna fish and soup. You know that, right? Goya, I hope. Goya, he's great, isn't he?
It's a
plug-in. By Goya because they throw it. They throw it. It's the perfect weight. Tuna fish, they can really rip it, right? And that hits you. That's true.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Bumblebee. Brand tuna. And you can throw that soccer. You can put a curve on it. You can do whatever the hell you want. And the cops in Chicago, you saw it. They're going like this. It was terrible. And
Are they really throwing cans of tuna? I mean, there was frozen water bottles and Molotov cocktails.
I'm sure a can of tuna was thrown at some time.
Why is this? I just saw this. Brandon sent the thing on Hunter Biden, and I saw Fox News talking about it, so now I'm in trouble with everyone, about him taking money from, what's the Russian thing? I've never heard that before.
So I saw this through the Daily Wire, and they had mentioned that there was a Senate report that is linking Hunter Biden somehow to either sex trafficking or hookers, or a combination of both.
Well, we know he's had hookers. I mean, that's not really...
He has sent funds to non-resident alien women in the United States who are citizens of Russia and the Ukraine, and who have subsequently wired funds that they have received from Hunter Biden to individuals located in Russia and the Ukraine. The report also cites the extensive public reporting concerning Hunter Biden's alleged involvement with prostitution services.
Where's Hunter?
I mean, it's really, I was talking to you about this before the show. This is a prime example of it depends where what you read and where you get your news from and how this is treated.
Well, I don't hear this anywhere, to be honest.
Except the Daily Wire. And
The big ones, the failing New York Times wrote about it, the slanted Washington Post. I mean, a lot of the legitimate news organizations did write about
What's the $3.5 million wire transfer from Elena Baturina, the wife of the former mayor of Moscow?
Yeah, that's...
That certainly would generate a lot of interest, I would think. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a complete and total exoneration because they said there's nothing, you know, there nothing illegal about anything that he did.
A wire transfer from the wife?
It was a complete and total exoneration.
I sure would like to know what exactly that's all about.
He did or allegedly did?
He did? He explained it?
No, I'm just wondering, you're saying that he did, or is it he allegedly did these things? Which one is it?
So there's a lot of words like problematic. There are a lot of words about allegedly.
Allegedly!
Some of these things are not allegedly. And also, the fact that this came up in the that Obama had a big problem with a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. as did other people, but they rarely spoke to Joe Biden about it for some reason.
By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
Senior State Department raised concern with Vice President Biden, as well as with Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's position on Britain's important and stable Russian disinformation efforts and risked undermining U.S. policy in Ukraine. I mean, this thing just goes on and on and on. I never honestly heard about him getting $3.5 million. What is that? Is that a real thing?
I don't know. I mean, if it's in the report, sure.
It's in the Senate Committee of Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs.
How does it read in that report?
I did not read the entire HCGAC and the Committee of Finance reports because that would be really boring. So instead, I took the New York Times and the Daily Wire's word for it.
The awkwardness for Obama administration officials continued well past his presidency. Former Secretary of State John Kerry had knowledge of Hunter Biden's role on Burisma's board, but when asked about it at a town hall event in Nashville, New Hampshire, Kerry Falsey said, I had no knowledge of that, about any of that. None. No. Which is completely false. Not only did he previously have knowledge of it, but his son, or what's his wife's name?
Jill?
No, oh, the ketchup lady. Hines.
Oh, Hines, yeah.
Yeah. Her son was Hunter Biden's partner, and he splintered from Hunter Biden because he was very upset about Hunter Biden's activities.
She sent 11 wire transfers from May and December 2015 to a bank account belonging to BAK USA, a tech startup that filed for bankruptcy in March of 2019. Nice investment.
Biden!
9 of those 11 wire transfers were first sent to Rosemont Seneca Partners, the investment firm founded by Biden and Hines.
Well, the wife of the mayor of Moscow investing with Hunter Biden, you know, the guy that smokes crack at the strip club and goes to rehab 7 times. I mean, that's really kind of interesting, isn't it?
No, it's incredibly interesting. And it's, I would say it's possibly, you know, problematic. But they didn't come to any conclusion that it affected anything, which, you know, they would have loved to have done.
But I just find it strange that I don't know anything about this. I mean, I've never, honestly, this is the first time I've ever seen that. I knew about Burisma, and there's always, it's always suggested he has some connection to China, but I don't know exactly what that is. I mean, it just seems like this information is not terribly available. What did the New York Times say about it?
What do you mean? It's not, I mean, the whole report's out there, all 87 pages.
No, but I mean, usually with Burisma, Burisma's been written about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't read anything about this. What did the New York Times say about it, Brandon?
The New York Times is basically saying they're just going with no evidence of wrongdoing, no evidence of wrongdoing, playing it down.
Interesting.
While the New York Post really points out the $3.5 million wire transfer from the Russian billionaire. And if you go to the Daily Wire, that one kind of has a whole slew of different snippets from it, but I don't know if you take a sentence or two out of a report
this. But look at that headline there. Hunter Biden received millions from a wife of ex-Moscow mayor. Now, it was sent to the company that he worked for. I mean, that headline makes it sound like she just sent money to him for whatever
reason. Why did she send money to his company? Is it because of him? Or
that's fine. I'm just saying the headline continues by saying all headlines are a little misleading.
That he paid suspects allegedly tied to human trafficking. He had contacts with individuals linked to the Chinese military. So it goes on and on, depending on which publication that you decide to read.
I need to read up on it. But honestly, the incredible thing to me is that this many people would invest money with Hunter Biden is so beyond belief.
And we know probably why they're doing it.
No, get close to Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are people shocked and surprised by that?
Shocked and surprised that his son would accept the money. Yeah.
He's a dope. He's an idiot.
Well, but that's a problem. I mean, anyone can take money from people for whatever reason, but you would think there'd be something. For Joe Biden just go, I don't know anything about it. It's crazy. He can say that, I guess, and maybe nobody would ever know, but it's a pretty weak excuse. But I honestly don't know anything about this Moscow woman. I don't even know if this is true. I don't know much about it, but I'd love to read about it because it sounds pretty
probably
fucking fascinating.
Probably another Russian hoax, if you ask me.
By the way, this is the same Hunter Biden who said that he was broke when he was asked to pay child support for the illegitimate kid with the stripper.
Yeah.
He said he was broke.
Yeah,
they demanded his finances, and he suddenly made arrangements to make payments to her. And then he got this joint in outside of Los Angeles, and he got a new Porsche. So I guess he's not broke. I doubt he's broke.
Of course he's not broke.
Oh, boy. Ann Arbor is going to make magic mushrooms legal?
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that done, or is that just about to happen?
That they voted in Ann Arbor City Council, a guy named Zach Ackerman, to free the mushroom from prosecution for its distribution, for its use, ingestion, etc.
I thought they said
transportation.
Cool mushroom tip.
Did they say other psychedelics
and
too?
Other hallucinogenics like ayahuasca, peyote, psilocybin?
Oh, you really know your.
I read it the other day. I thought it was pretty wild.
Well, pretty cool. Mushrooms, you know, in Amsterdam, you can go to a store and it'll have a drawing of a mushroom on a sign that means we have shrooms for you.
Yeah,
they're totally legal. Right. And they sell the quote-unquote antidote, you know, if you're having a bad trip.
Really? Yes. There's an antidote, too?
Well, they say it's an antidote. Fortunately, I didn't need an antidote.
A Valium or something. you know, they said, though, they're basing this decision on Johns Hopkins and their research on how it helps depression and trauma and opioid addiction. So they feel like,
I'm sure that's how they're going to be used.
Who cares how they're used?
How does it help with opioid addiction? That's fascinating.
Because it breaks that cycle. You know, you
just shroom out for a few days and you get past it?
It sets your brain.
It helps your brain. Yeah, your brain chemistry and your dopamine or whatever it takes. You know, you can kind of recover all of that brain chemistry.
I'm interested in microdosing. I got to say, I need to read more about microdosing because it sounds like you can feel pretty good if you're microdosing.
Is there any downside?
It.
No. Well, maybe liver complications. But
from acid? Is acid hard in the liver?
Oh, well, I had a friend who she may have taken it every day for 5 years.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm amazed the people that have done that and they seem fairly okay.
She's fairly okay, but she did have some tenuous liver issues for a while.
Drugs aren't the answer.
I mean, every once in a while, there's the Sid Barrett from Pink Floyd who trips for a year straight and is like, see ya! But then there's a lot of other people who, because I know that, I thought I read that Lennon was tripping every other day for, you know, a couple of years or something. And
God, you gotta have a lot
of time
on your hands.
Steve Jobs tripped.
Well, if you notice, Lennon gets less productive on the last couple Beatles albums.
Honestly, who has the time to trip that much?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty weird. I mean, I wonder how hard you trip. Maybe he was an early microdoser.
What kind of father was he while he was doing that?
You're not getting all sober on us, are you?
Then the other local story, well, there were a few, but there was a protest in Lansing. A protest/rally to unmask high school football players and other athletes. It's like, wow, they're really having a protest about this? I mean, I can see people complaining about it, but I was not expecting. I figured people would be so damn happy to be playing high school football.
I figured you would just take your mask off while you were playing instead of protesting.
Well, I think they can penalize you, or they're supposed to penalize you for not wearing a mask.
Who, the ref? Or the?
I don't know. I don't know.
How do you wear a mask with a mouth guard, though?
Well, you put the mouth guard in first, and you put the mask over it.
Mask over it?
Yes. I mean, just breathe through your nose. I mean, a mask in a football, if you're tackling each other, does a mask really help you much?
No. No. It
does seem kind of stupid.
It's stupid they have to wear them, but.
You know, I got to tell you.
I think it's just as dumb to protest them.
The bizarro thing about the 96-year-old bowler is, so she's going to bowling league every week, and she's just bowling with her friends and bowling her nine tap and whatever. And you know,
she's got a life to live. She doesn't have much time left.
I know, but we can't bowl here. Not that I'm dying to bowl, but you know, these bowling outlets.
You better start bowling every day the second they're open.
Are you going to the gym?
Yes, I am going to the gym.
Did you go today?
I didn't go today. I was a little bit sore.
I'm surprised it was as empty as you said it was.
It was very empty. It was. There were about. But usually when I go, it's pretty empty anyway because it's mid-morning. Mm-hmm. So it's not. It's busy early in the morning and then it's busy, you know, afternoon drive.
Yeah.
So it's a good time.
Yes, sir.
But there are less, significantly less people than I'm used to seeing there on a normal basis. So, and speaking of things in Royal Oak, like LA Fitness. Don't forget the contest is coming. If you want to get $1,000 in Royal Oak Bucks to spend at any of these participating places, and there's so many places participating, Lily's and Ale Mary's and Mesa and Royal Oak Tap House and what's the Little Tree Sushi?
Little Tree Sushi, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Tons of places. Oak City and Fifth Avenue, and they're all doing bang-up business with all of you who are spending your Royal Oak Bucks, and hopefully you guys will spend them before time runs out in mid to late October. Some people's, I think, is it 90 days they gave you, maybe? And so some people are expiring mid-October, some late October, but there's a lot of money left out there. And then the $1,000 in Royal Oak Bucks. As Saturday is Downtown Day across Michigan to celebrate, Downtown Royal Oak is doing this giveaway contest posted on September 25th to Instagram at Downtown_Royal Oak. Post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in Downtown Royal Oak. Tag at Downtown_Royal Oak and use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. they said capitals M-I and D, and then Owntown, and then capital D, but you guys don't think it matters. It should just be a hashtag, hashtag, hashtag.
I wouldn't think it mattered. You want to hear a highlight?
I'll make sure about that.
Highlight from Trump's press conference today?
Sure.
Mr. President, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle chimed in on the U.S. election and essentially encouraged people to vote for Joe Biden. I wanted to get your reaction to that.
How do you think he's going to answer?
I think he's going to say that they made Britain greater by leaving, and he hopes they'll do the same for America, because that's what somebody else said today.
That would have been a better answer. That you think he's going to say that, Brandon?
Yeah.
What do you think, Trudy?
I'm going to say he doesn't know them very well. He does that sort of distancing thing sometimes. When he just
I will call them from now on losers.
Oh,
I'm surprised you didn't.
Because that's what they are. They're losers.
Wow.
One very obvious thing that he says, but then the other one is a pretty good line.
I'm not a fan of hers. And I would say this.
That was the
line. And she probably has heard that. But I wish a lot of luck to Harry, because he's going to need it.
Oh, that's great.
Well said. God. Oh, my God.
1 year.
Oh, boy.
You probably just gained some in the polls with that comment.
Wow.
I got to tell you, I'm amazed at how the world has just fallen.
I don't think it's real.
I don't know what they got a Netflix deal worth a lot of money.
I mean,
look at that fucking deal. Neither one of them could have even touched that thing 2 years ago.
I just don't think most regular people really care.
Probably not, but they are a money making machine, and that's all they want to do.
For Britain, when you're royals, I mean, it's the title that's the money making machine. It's not them. It's not their personality.
Yeah, but the money goes to them. They get the money from America.
Oh, no, I know for the Netflix. I just think Netflix is going to lose on that deal.
Oh, I swear, Mark, I thought the same thing. I was like, I'm reading about it, and they're like, oh, Meghan has so many great ideas for projects. I'm thinking, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
Who says that?
2 years ago, Netflix said that.
Yeah, because they need it to work.
Well, I just don't know. Netflix made it sound like, and the other platforms, it was suggested that they were all, it was like a bidding war. They all wanted Harry and Meghan on their platform, and Netflix just outbid everyone. And the deal is crazy, because honestly, you know, Obama is not getting the kind of deal they have.
Yeah,
so Obama.
So YouGov kind of does their updated Q rating, right? For people, you know, because YouGov does a lot of polls. They have positive opinion, negative opinion, neutral opinion, and percent of people that have heard of her. Now, that's really high. 95% of people know who Meghan Markle is, the Duchess. Ugh. Care to guess the positive and negative opinion and neutral opinion of her?
Well, I'd love to say it's really negative, but there's so many people who go, oh, my God, you invent that. So I'll guess it's like 70-30 in her favor.
37-35 and 23 of a neutral opinion. 37 positive, 35 negative. She's not that popular.
37 positive? Yeah. I would think most chicks would go, oh, my God, you're with that.
It's mainly millennials. Sorry, millennials. I'm not joking. They have a
millennials like her?
Most positive opinion about her.
What? Oh, because she says all the right things?
And women aren't that much more positive about her than men are. Because men probably go, yeah, she's hot. I like her.
Must not listen to her.
But good luck translating that into anything watchable for Netflix for $150 million.
Why would they be any better at picking projects than the people at Netflix who have picked fabulous projects?
I don't know. Now, Prince Harry, on the other hand, is 53% positive, 23% negative, 23% neutral.
I like Harry. He seems like a good guy. If he lost her, I'd like him a lot better. Because it would prove to me that he's a good guy that I like. How ridiculous is that?
Go back to being nude at parties and stuff?
Yes.
Dress up like Nazis at Halloween parties?
Yeah, go back to where your swastika. You should outgrow
some of that, but, you know, still seems like a fun, seemed like a fun-loving guy.
Except when he wore that Nazi regalia.
Oh, it was just, he got a little crazy. I don't know.
Well, he lost his job, actually, for just being a royal.
Well, not for that.
Speaking of women that Drew rolls his eyes at, check out this Facebook ad. for Frito-Lay. Football is back. Follow Katie Sauer's lead and make your snack plans. And here she is, sitting on her bed, eating a full big old bag of Lay's potato chips while writing up plays that I'm sure the San Francisco 49ers use every Sunday.
Oh man,
it's really cute how she's in a 49ers onesie like the other coaches are.
Oh, looks like there's audio to this. Here, let me see what the audio is.
Oh boy.
She's drawing up plays, and then she rips them out of the notebook. That doesn't look very organized, and that's also not how they do it.
Run it again. Let's go.
They don't draw it up on paper anymore. Just saying.
I couldn't believe how many people were pissed at me for ragging on that commercial. For saying that, I don't believe she tells the 49ers what to do.
She doesn't. It's not a real. Remember all the numbers that the players were wearing? Were not numbers on the roster?
I know. It was totally fake. Yeah. So why were people mad? Why were they saying,
you're picking on her?
That Frito-Lay ad is just as fake.
She's drawing a place for it, really. Honestly, I don't wish her any ill will. If she wants to be a football coach and she is a good one and she's doing a good job and she's fighting against all this bullshit, then I really could not root. I am rooting for her.
I'm not mad at her. I'm mad at Frito-Lay and I'm mad at Microsoft for the way they're presenting it because it's just a lie. I mean, I know
if she proves to be some sort of offensive genius and a lot of people can look at a football field and create plays and maybe she can. I don't know. I doubt it. But
maybe the Lions should go in that direction and hire a female.
Why not?
Couldn't do any work.
They get all the credit for that.
To lose.
They'd get all the credit for that, and they'd still have the same record. So what's to lose?
Female owned. They should get a female GM.
They could do better. Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice could do something.
She could be
GM.
Yeah.
President.
You want to run our commercial for?
Hope not handcuffs.
Hope not handcuffs.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me, Hope Not Handcuffs arrived, and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more.
Hey, if anybody has any success with this, please let me know. Or with a friend or family member. I'd love to hear your story. And why don't we get out of here? And hopefully we have Cliff Notes Theater at the end?
Hopefully.
I mean, I heard it. At least I know it exists now.
It does exist.
It actually happened. How are things at Wheels, Trudy?
Oh, awesome.
What's going on over there?
We're just rocking out like crazy.
Is it really like crazy?
Yeah, like crazy. All the time.
See?
It's a bash.
I heard from Casey today.
Oh, no.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. Yeah, we have to cut some fresh stuff, I guess.
That's really good news.
Yeah, see, they're working on our show.
And I was pumping up the show today, and now I'll have the Ditka and 96-year-old golfer to brag about tomorrow.
Bowler.
Bowler, right.
Yes. Nine-pin bowler.
Make sure to include that.
Well, I hope tonight goes well. I know people are angry, and Louisville will be a lot of protesting. I just hope it doesn't go beyond that. And I understand why people are pissed. This whole thing just sucks.
I've already seen video of counter-protesters, too, so great. Yay.
I'm not sure what would be the counter-protesting.
I don't get it. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, who knows? Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. And everybody have a good night. Good day.
We got our music right.
Got
to get the right music for this one. It's Gail Sayers. Gail Sayers is a Brian song.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Dee Williams. Oh, man. I am nervous. I'm a huge Gail Sayers fan. He's probably before a lot of people's time in terms of people listening right now. But, my God, if you ever saw this guy play, he was the running back. Oh, the highlight films of this guy. And, of course, Brian's song, which he's almost known best better for.
Yeah.
Gail?
Yes.
Hey, it's Drew and Mike calling on WRIF Radio. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. Sorry to bother you. Just we heard you were staying here, and somebody gave us a little tip off. We just had to call in. I am the biggest Bears fan, and boy, you and Butkus back, and what a draft that first round back in 65, I guess it was. Anyway, just wanted to call and say hi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
How did the golf go yesterday?
It was a good round. I enjoyed the course, and it's good charity, and you know, anytime I can help, you know, people with charities, I'm happy to do it.
How are your knees?
You know, I've had six knee operations, but, you know, I can walk 18 holes of golf, and, you know, that's really what I care about now, you know, getting around the golf course. But things are good. I'm not looking for a knee replacement or anything like that, but, you know, I can play golf.
So you still could beat Butkus in a race?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Hey, now, is that a real scene when Brian Piccolo was helping you get ready after you hurt your knee the first time, and he's racing you? And he fakes that he fell down and got hurt, and then he gets up and runs, you know, to try and beat you in the race. He faked an injury. Was that true?
Well, you know, he helped me a great deal on my comeback, and they kind of embellished that a little bit. But for the most part, it was a true movie. Yes.
Okay, but the falling down thing was embellished.
Yes.
Oh, shoot. How about the mashed potatoes?
That was true. Yes.
Oh, that is true.
That's great.
Because that's a major part.
Yeah, James Caan was fantastic.
He did a good job.
Okay, with those mashed potatoes.
And then the other one was the deafness in one ear with Muggsy George Halas. Was
yes,
that
sir.
That was true too?
Yes, sir.
God, that Brian Piccolo, he was a clown, wasn't he?
Well, you know, he's a good man, but you know, he loved to do jokes and things like that, but a good person and a good football player.
He was a funny guy. You know, I have to say, I loved the original version of that movie. How did you like it when they remade it a couple years ago?
Well, you know, the first one, you know, it was, I thought it was very, very good. And, you know, they didn't do the second one until 30 years later. So there's,
right.
You know, a 30-year gap in between that. So the people who didn't see the first one really enjoyed the second one. And the people who saw the first one say, well, I like James Caan better than I like so-and-so. I like the Billy Dee Williams
better
than I like Mekhi Phifer. So,
yeah.
You know, both were very, very good. The second movie, you know, it was a little tougher to watch because they showed the way he died.
Yeah.
In the first one, you know, when he died, he looked like he did when he came up in 1965. But the second one, it kind of showed his gauntness and things like that. So it was a little tougher to watch. But no, I had no problem with either one of them. And as I said, I think the people who didn't see the first one really enjoyed the second one.
We had a show one day. We were talking about movies that made guys cry. And we had more people talk about Brian's Song. And I have to admit, that's the first movie that ever made me cry. Oh, my God, what a crusher.
Well, you know, the thing about it, you know, I think it was a movie that, you know, people think that, you know, athletes don't care about one another and they want to, you know, knock somebody's head off with playing football or, you know, basketball or baseball. But this movie showed that, you know, we do care about our, you know, teammates, and it's like a family. And so when somebody gets hurt or somebody gets sick, well, you know, we are concerned about those people.
Well, it was the part that got me, that tore me up, is when they told you, and you addressed the team and said, we'll sign the ball and take it up to him in the hospital. And that was, man, I was gone, just gone. And then you go up there, and Brian Piccolo said, yeah, nice going, Sayers. You dedicate the game to me, and then you lose. You're supposed to. And did he really say that?
He did. No.
I feel like Chris Farley with Paul McCartney. Well, anyway, that was brilliant. And I wanted to ask you, since we have you here and you're often mentioned in this company, who is the greatest running back of all time in your mind?
There's no greatest running back. You have 10 people. You know, maybe you can say 15 people that are great football players. You know, in my era, you didn't have AstroTurf. You didn't have dome stadiums. You know, so AstroTurf and dome stadiums, you know, records are made to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You can always look at Jim Brown. You can look at O.J. Simpson. You can look at Walter Payton. You look at Barry Sanders. You look at Eric Dickerson. You know, Earl Campbell. You know, a lot of great running backs, you know, in different eras. But you can't say, you know, just because, you know, Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's record, he's the greatest.
Or Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith broke Walter Payton's record, he's the greatest. You know, and so, you know, what makes the greatest. You know, Emmitt Smith, he's hanging on right now. And, you know, Jim Brown averaged 5.2 yards a carry. I averaged 5.1 a carry. I think Barry Sanders in that 5.2. You know, carry, and I think when Emmitt Smith finishes,
he'll be 4 yards.
He may be the most yards, but it'd be 3.2, 3.3. And so, do you take in yards and average? I don't know, but no, there's no greatest. You know, it's 10 or 15 running backs out there that will be classified as some of the best. As long as football is being played.
Well, one of the things that killed me about Brian Song, the second movie, was it didn't use your Real Bear highlight clips, which are some of the greatest clips. That must have been disappointing.
Well, you know, I think that, again, the people who didn't see the first one, they didn't care. You know, it still was a good movie. The ones who saw the first one, well, they should have used the highlights
like
the first one.
Oh, my God, those highlights and those 6 touchdowns against San Francisco. We just got a list from ESPN.com on the 10 greatest rookie seasons of all time in pro football. And I turned to see number one, and I expected to see Gale Sayers, 1965, 22 touchdowns, 800 and some odd yards rushing, 547 yards receiving. You had the kickoff returns, the punt returns, and Gale Sayers was listed as number 5. I was in shock. How could they do that to you?
I don't know, and you know, what do they consider when they when they do this? I have the slightest idea.
I don't know. What was up?
I enjoyed it. Had a good year, and it worked out well for me.
22 touchdowns, my God. Well, listen, I got to tell you, I am so pleased that we got in touch with you, and you were kind enough to talk to us. Gail, thanks so much for coming to town and helping us with some charity, and I hope you're getting out to the Ryder Cup today. Did you plan to do that?
Yes, I am. I'll be here, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Wow. Magic.
There he was.
Magic.
Just like that.
Remember when you... I thought about those mashed potatoes.
Can you believe that?
It's true.